Sea ice in the Arctic has failed to reform for the second consecutive winter, raising fears that global warming may have tipped the polar regions into irreversible climate change far sooner than predicted. Dr. Mark Serres, a sea ice specialist at the U.S. National Snow and Ice Data Center in Colorado, said, quote, "In September 2005, the Arctic sea ice cover was at its lowest extent since satellite monitoring began in 1979, and probably the lowest in the last 100 years. While we can't be certain, it looks like 2006 will be more of the same." End quote. For Head On Radio Network News, I'm Bruce Birch.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, good evening. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the program. I am Bob Kincaid. This is Head On for a Tuesday night. God knows it's been a weird little day on planet Earth. Why do I say that? Well, you've already probably got a pretty good idea because, after all, this is liberal talk radio. That sort of presupposes that the folks that I'm talking with are alert, not in some sort of ditto-induced conservative coma. And you've probably got a pretty good idea of just exactly what's going on in the world. You heard the lead story on tonight's Horn newscast, Head On Radio Network. That's us, the Horn. I got alerted to a post started by our good friend Ben Birch over at Democratic Underground as well, to the effect that Dubai's not going to give up on this thing. It's wrestling. As our buddy David in Tennessee so frequently says, it's all wrestling. This whole business is, okay, well, you know, we're going to Dubai Ports World. We're going to go away now, and we won't bother you all no more. It's a bunch of racist Arab haters and stuff, and we're going to cry in the desert, okay? Bug spray. You didn't believe that, and I didn't believe it either. It was a con. I said so last week. Because they started mumbling around, those good-for-nothing cave-in artists in the Republican Party who think that they swore an oath to George Bush instead of the Constitution when they took their congressional seats. They were talking this crap about, we could probably tolerate the Dubai Ports World owning the ports if they would do it through a wholly-owned American subsidiary. And then somebody in the Republican Party said, shh, don't smarten up the chumps. Guess what? That's how it's going to work. It's going to be a wholly owned subsidiary of Dubai Ports World. And they will own your ports. And the dictator of Dubai and the dictators of the UAE will do what they've done all along. They will go and they will... hang out at the hunting club and fart and scratch themselves with Osama bin Laden like they've done all along, over in whatever cave complex passes for his home these days. That's what they were doing before, you know that, of course. They're Osama's buddies. Sure they are. So why should we be surprised? But there may be one little wrinkle in this process, and that's the lead story from tonight's Horn newscast as delivered to you by our good friend and compadre, Bruce Birch of All Things Reconsidered and Fourth Estate Radio, from the Washington Business Journal last Friday. private equity firm The Carlyle Group established a team to acquire public purpose facilities such as ports. You know, just ports, just generically ports, some port. A day after a United Arab Emirates company said it would transfer newly acquired operations at American ports to a U.S. organization. The Carlyle Group announced an eight-person team would invest in public purpose infrastructure projects such as ports, transportation, water facilities, airports, bridges, and stadiums. The team began work yesterday. The Carlyle Group. Who's a big stakeholder in the Carlyle Group? Why, Rumsfeld's a big stakeholder in the Carlyle Group. Why, Dick Cheney's a big stakeholder in the Carlyle Group. The Bush family, a huge stakeholder in the Carlyle Group. Until not too long back, the Bin Laden family, huge stakeholders in the Carlyle Group. So, you know, you get it, right? Any way you slice it, it's a con. Meanwhile, out there in news land, more reports of, we have trouble in our ports in America. The mob has overtaken the Longshoremen's Union. This is a con of monumental proportions. This is three-card Monte somewhere on a corner, a seedy corner in New York City, or you get the idea. They're going to find a way to sell off our national security, hell or high water. And they're going to find a way to have themselves a war in Iran. And they're going to find themselves a way to say that, no, they didn't start this civil war in Iraq. Why? I'll tell you why. Because when you get right down to it, what they are liars. And they're power manipulators, and they're power mad, and they're power mongers, and death, and destruction, and misery, and hell, and damnation follow in their wakes. Because that's the world the way they like it. They make money on the misery and pain of other people. It's their job. It's what gives them security, you see. So that's where we start tonight, right? Yeah, that's where we start tonight. Now, you know what this is. This is Head On. It's your nightly confrontation with the facts. The phone number 877, the number 4, Head On, 877-443-2366. And I'm Bob Kincaid.
Fight childhood asthma, then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Hey, listen, tell me something, John. Do you guys eat a lot of mangoes down there?
Not enough to base a foreign policy on.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. We don't eat that many of them here either.
The United States is India's largest trading partner, and India is one of the United States' fastest growing export markets. And oh, by the way, Mr. Prime Minister, the United States is looking forward to eating Indian mangoes.
That's right. It's March Mango Madness. Nukes for mangoes, mangoes for nukes. Join Bruce and I, John Fox, this weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network. Catch us at fourthestateradio.com or headonradionetwork.com.
I found a reason, I don't need an excuse. I've got this time on my hands. You are the one to abuse. Yes, I'm...
Conservatives? We don't need no stinking conservatives. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Nuclear arms in the Middle East. Israel's attacking the Iraqis. The Syrians are mad at the Lebanese. And Baghdad does whatever she please. Looks like her.
Welcome back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Where do you want to go tonight? I'm up for it if you are. I take maybe a slightly different approach to talk radio, what I call conversation radio, than a lot of other people do. I consider what you have to say as or more important than anything that I might offer. This is the conversation. This is the beginning of the conversation that this nation must have on a national basis if we are to survive, the first decade of the 21st century. We have got to talk, and we progressives, we decent people, we moral individuals, we people who look to the future without fear. We must begin talking. We must begin sharing our vision with not only America, but with the world. And we must tell the world, and we try, God knows we try on this program, we must tell the world that all of America has not gone just absolutely the rat in an outhouse crazy. That there are those of us who still know what America means to the world, and we intend to bring it back. So that's where we are. Let's go to the phones. Our good friend Gene from Oregon is calling in. Hey, Gene, you're Head On.
Hey, Bob.
How you doing?
Oh, well, I was fine until I heard about this Feingold backtrack by the Dems.
Yeah, that's kind of that's in the list, too. The big, the great cave-in.
Uh-huh. I'm telling you, my backside's getting so sore, it's not even funny. I'm sorry. First of all, for the Biport thing, I got one question. We all know that Bush and company are all KBR folks. How many of those Dems are also KBR? Do you know?
I don't. I honestly don't. And that is the that's the million-dollar question when you get right down to it.
I'd like to know that. Now, regarding the Democratic retreat. I got three things I want to say before I devolve into just rage. I wish I had thought about this sooner, and it's fairly controversial, I think. I think when we get something like this thing with Senator Feingold setting up thing, or even Alito, like we did the last time with the filibuster for the filibuster deal, I think we ought to the minute we hear something of it, and we did, a lot of us did do this. I know I've done this for some of this, but really get on those other Democratic senators to support this, even after the, you know, thing is put out there, so that, you know, that way we know that, hey, if they're going to backpedal, they're not doing our business.
Well, I think you're right.
And why I think this is controversial is I'm almost tempted, and this is the scary part, is to actually have something like a semi-official record of so-and-so, like me or somebody, who would say, this is what I support, and I stand by this. So just so that we know that they're going against somebody's will, you know.
Yeah.
And the second thing is I really think we need to go ahead on the local party level, because not only do we need to work on the local party, but it seems like we need to set up some ties between the local and the national party. And I don't care if it's Senator Feingold that has a good idea, or whatever senator. I think we should try and work on that for setting it up. And lastly, I was thinking, if they're not going to do the people's business, what are they doing there? We need to get them out. And maybe we should just try to flood them with, you know, I don't care if it's a bill that says 84-year-old grandmothers can't buy roller skates. I don't care. Just get them so tied up with bills. I don't, you know.
Well, you see, an opposition party that understood what it meant to be an opposition party, Gene, could do that.
Yeah.
I mean, when the Republicans were in the minority, they tormented the Democratic majority nonstop. They didn't lay down. They didn't accommodate. They didn't pacify. They didn't appease the majority party. They stayed like it was like they were like a bad penny. They just wouldn't go away. And as an opposition party, Gene, we're not very good at it.
No, we aren't. And it's like, I mean, I thought about what you said yesterday about the shadow. Andy and the shadow foreign minister, and it's like, I don't know if I want to go that far, but nah. But I mean, on the other hand, something's got to be done. Like, I'm getting tired, you know. If
well, it's heartbreaking, Gene. It really is.
I mean, if somebody's gonna mess around down there, I want them to have my best interest at heart.
Well, see, this was what went down today in the Senate was some procedural wrangling. Bill Frist came along, and, you know, the cat killer.
Yeah.
He came along and he said, well, if we're going to have this y'all resolution, we're going to vote on it right now. And the Democrats, it can be explained away procedurally. The Democrats said, no, we'll not have a vote on this if we're not going to have debate on this.
Yeah.
Because you want, and I do understand a portion of that, Gene, because you want to start this debate. But the question was, where were the people who were ready? I mean, if the vote had been compelled, were there Democrats ready to stand in line behind him? Because all Frist did was, it's, you know, again, it's that thing I keep saying, Gene. The Republicans are playing chess and we're playing checkers.
Yeah, yeah. It just drives me up a wall to see things like this happen, because it's like, I get so mad. Anyway, there's my 2 cents.
All right, appreciate it, Gene.
Okay, see you later.
Take care now.
Bye.
Bye. And let's keep rolling. Just so you'll know, Agnes is off at this is parent-teacher conference reception night, so I'm flying blind. So when you call in and you just get put on hold, that's because there's nobody here to answer the phone except me on the air. So that's how that works. So don't be put off, please. 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. It's all a mystery tonight. Let's see who's on line 2. Hey, you're head on. Who have I got? Hello?
Would that be me?
Would that be you?
It's me, Bobby Boy. It's Mitch.
Hey, Mitch. How you doing?
All right, pal. Good to hear you.
Good to talk to you.
You too, pal. Listen, you know, here we go again. You know, I mean, I feel like the harbinger of gloom. I mean, it's everybody's, you know, so busy rearranging their deck chairs on the Titanic that they don't realize the ship's sinking.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth in that, Mitch.
Man, we're coming up to a day of reckoning like this country has never known before, and everybody's worried about these trivial little issues. I expect the way, you know, the here's the conundrum. The better things get, the worse things get. Because the more we force these guys into a corner, the more we're forcing their hand, and they're going to have to come with their master stroke, which is all I'll have left, and that's going to be another attack on this country, or a pandemic, or, you know, or a, you know, a mad cow, or something. They'll come up with something that'll be able to, you know, to shut the thing down, take it over, and just start running it like a dictatorship.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think in large part that's where we're headed. And if you go over to one of my favorite blogs, comearmageddon.blogspot.com, you will find an entry there with regard to the speech that former Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor recently delivered. And, you know, she more or less came out with six guns ablaze, and she said some of the things that we're seeing happen with the judiciary are the front end of dictatorship.
Yeah, but she felt so strongly about it, right? Why did she quit, right? Right.
I know.
Why did she retire? Why don't you hang on to her last dying breath? You know what I mean? And hang in there and try to, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I even heard, you know, words without deeds are empty.
Yeah. Faith without works is nothing, I think, is what it
there
says.
We go. Yeah, well, works without deeds. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
These people, they talk of good. They all talk this good shit, but when it comes down the pike, where are they? You know, when push comes to shove. It's like musical chairs. It's like with the Democrats. It's one week, Nancy Pelosi will stand up and say something brave, and then she'll go run and hide in the corner.
Or Harry Reid. Harry Reid is like number one on my hit parade for pulling that stuff.
Yeah, every once in a while he'll do something real heroic. It's like, wow, there's a guy, and the next day he's cowering again.
Well, it's exactly that, Mitch. I mean, he came out and called the Republicans a bunch of thugs and crooks, and the next day, I'm sorry.
I know, yeah, same thing, you know, and Dick Durbin. But this is really crying. That big stuff of crying. Apologizing for what he said, and he didn't say nothing. You remember Dick Durbin? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I mean, these guys, you got all the Democrats together. Maybe you'd have enough for half a spine. I mean, I just don't know what to do with these guys. And, you know, not one of them. I wouldn't vote for another Democrat if they paid me. I'm strictly going to go. I'm a third party guy. I'm going to vote for a man who tells the truth. I can't vote for anybody that tells me lies.
No.
I'm not going to settle anymore. I'm not going to vote for Republican light, and I'm not going to go that route because they'll just buckle again.
Well,
you know, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down with my guns blazing.
Well, Mitch, part of what you're giving vent to, I believe, is this yearning that exists in this once great nation for real leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Not leadership only on days with an R in them, or leadership this week but not next. Somebody that will stand consistently. You know, we're in a hell of a storm, even if we don't realize it. And we need someone who will stand at the tiller, no matter how tall the waves are coming over the bow.
Exactly. But I mean, where is the guy? I mean, you in my heart of hearts, you know who breaks my heart? He's not here anymore. JFK Jr.
Yeah. Yeah,
I always felt that boy would find himself.
Well, and every time the name Paul Wellstone is mentioned, I get this sick sinking feeling in my gut, Mitch.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I love Paul, but Paul was a Jewish guy. He was Jewish,
yeah.
And they would have nailed him for that. They would have crucified him for that. I mean, somehow. I mean, you just know they would have went after.
Look what
he would have went back at them, but.
Well, see, but that's what we've got going on with Feingold, too. You know, another Jewish guy.
Right, exactly.
And it's already happened today, Mitch. I think it was on Joe Scarborough. Joe Scarborough's show last night. You know, that murderous SOB. He had Anthony Perkins from the American Family Values Coalition of Association Organization. Yeah, real. I know the turd.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Justice Sunday creep. And he came out, and you gotta understand, this guy's like one of these fundamentalist Christians, and I don't know if the Jewish community understands where the fundamentalists are coming from. I don't know if the Jewish community understands that the fundamentalists believe that there's going to be a day when Jesus comes down in his golden Cadillac, and all the fundies get to start killing Jews. I don't know if they understand that.
They're kindling wood for the final fire, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So last night. Perkins is on Scarborough Country, and he says that Russ Feingold's words in the Senate yesterday were treasonous. That's code, Mitch, because treason is the only crime that is defined within the Constitution itself, and treason, as we all know, is punishable by death. That man, Tony Perkins, called for the assassination of Russ Feingold last night on national television, and nobody will call him on it except maybe me.
You know, you're right, absolutely. You know, I mean, you know, they always talk like that. They know how to get exactly the point across. They're morons. They're trying to get a point across. So, if they know all the code words.
Yeah,
you know,
it is code.
If you wanted to go into a fundamentalist Christian church, and you really, me and you, somebody like us, we went in there, and we just hung out for a month, right?
Yeah.
Hung out in the back. We could come out. We could talk. We could talk a good Christian trip.
Oh, I was raised in it, Mitch.
Oh, man. I mean, you could talk it. I mean, right now you could go out and you could probably convince anybody you wanted, right, that you were a fundamentalist Christian.
Oh, I can run the con like that.
Oh, see, you know what I mean? I'm not as hip to you. I didn't grow up like that, and I can do it. And I can go into a fundamental. It's so superficial. So it's so dopey. They take Christ on such a superficial level, you know? And then they use it and they twist it. And, oh my God! You know, Saint Paul. I call him the Don King of the Bible. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's all he was. You know, they say he saw a light on the road to Damascus. Remember those old cartoons when you see the character and he would get an idea and you see the little caption above his head and the light bulb would go off.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I always saw Paul on the road to Damascus and he said, "Ding!" The light goes off. You know. Ooh, man, I could make some money with this trip, you know?
Yeah, he's on the road to Damascus, and, you know, I am so damn sick of this tent-making gig. He was a tent-maker, you know?
Yeah, man.
I'm so sick of this. Man, I need a break. If I could just figure out, holy mackerel, wait a minute, I got it.
Yeah, these people will buy anything, you know? Okay, and there he goes, and there comes Christianity, because all that stuff in the Bible, none of it comes from Christ.
No, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There's your Christianity.
You know, and they were decades away. Decades. I mean, in some cases, like almost a century away from the life of Christ. You know. I mean, who are these people? I could tell you a story. You could tell it to Agnes. Agnes could tell it to one other person. And by the time that person tells it back to me, it's a different story. Can you imagine 2,000 years?
Yeah, that's
a convoluted bullshit.
Yeah, and the next thing you know, the dude's walking. The next thing you know, dude's walking on the water.
That's it, man. I'm telling you, I'm walking on the water. I mean, I don't know. I just watch this whole thing, and I get so frustrated hearing people calling up and talking about, oh, Social Security. Oh my God, you know.
Well, but the thing is, it's all under attack, Mitch.
But we have to focus on one thing right now. We cannot let them pull another terrorist attack on this country, and we cannot fall blind to that. We cannot allow that to happen, and people and get away with it.
Yeah, well, I mean, the reason they're doing everything in their power, Mitch, to sneak this ports deal through is that's where the next 9/11 comes from.
Mm-hmm.
It's scripted. It has been talked about for years now. You know, our ports are at risk. Everybody talks about how our ports are at risk.
Yeah, and you know, they only have to be right once too, Bob. You know, we have to be right 100 times.
Right.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know. It makes you want to run around the room screaming.
I know.
But the thing is, if we know it, if we see it, and if there are enough of us talking about it, we can curtail it. We can put it off by simply them knowing that we know.
Right. Now, I emailed you today that Google film.
Yeah.
Loose Change, I think it was.
Yeah, Loose Change.
It's the best. You've seen it. It's the best of all the 9/11 films. It seems to be a compilation of all of them. It seems to have drawn from each one of those films and has all the, you know, all the pertinent information. If you can, email everybody you know. And if you guys, I don't have it here, what it is, because I'm not on the computer right now. But it's, you know, Google has this film called Loose Change, and Bob can tell you probably clearer than I can. It's the best documentary on 9/11. And it's got to be seen by a lot of people.
I think it should be, because even if you don't buy into each and every piece of information that's put forward in that film, you come away, you know, if one-tenth of Loose Change is true,
mm-hmm.
if one-tenth of it is true, if the other 90% is pure BS, but one-tenth of it is true, Mitch, then we're dealing with a situation that is absolutely monstrous.
And you think... You know what? When they ever see when they show the terrorists, they always show the photographs of the terrorists. They're always on that, you know, one famous script sheet.
Yeah.
On TV, and now on Loose Change, they say that what was it, seven or eight of those guys are alive. There were no terrorists on the plane. They were alive. One guy's like an accountant in Beirut. The other guy's, other guys, you know, just kicking smack in Tangiers. I don't know what he's doing, but, you know, they're all doing something. They're alive.
Well, by September the 12th, 2001, the passenger manifests of the planes had been released, and I remember reading them and sitting there going, where are the Arab dudes?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Because, I mean, even if you assume for a moment, and I don't want to turn this into the 9/11 show, but if you assume for a moment that the people at the counter were even remotely awake, not even competent, just awake, when a dark-haired, swarthy-looking guy, I mean, we've seen him on the film, purportedly, right? When that guy shows up and hands you a ticket saying that his name is Jan Janssen from Wisconsin, if you're awake, you're looking at this guy going, ah, no, no.
Yeah,
this don't work.
I know,
there was not one Arab name on those passenger manifests, and there was, and supposedly all bodies were accounted for.
Well, and the one piece of information that always I get a kick of is that was it Pennsylvania or New York where the only thing that was found in the rubble was one of the guy's passports completely untouched.
Yeah, 2,100 degree Fahrenheit fire such, and the black box. The black box doesn't survive, but the passport did.
And it falls to the ground in pristine condition on top of on top of a pile of diamonds or something. You know, I mean, they just happened to find that. You know, it's just incredible. But like you said, maybe it shouldn't be the 9/11 show because we're coming up, like you say, it could be the 10/13 show or the 7/26
show. Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
And we got to get ready for that because that's going to be a day of reckoning when this country is going to have to do a real gut check.
And, you know, at some point we get to ask the question, you know, George Bush said something last week in his radio address or something, Mitch. He said, because we cannot wait for another terrorist attack like 9/11. And the question that a statement like that begs is, George, buddy, why did you wait for the first one? You know, I'd like to see this guy. You know, every time somebody's tried to ask him a question, well, you know, I can't be put under oath, or I have to sit on Dick Cheney's lap. It's all of that crap. I want the man to be asked pointed questions straight up under oath with a really, really mean lawyer across the table from him. I want to know why. I want to know why, Mitch, the Hart-Rudman report that said our airports have lax security and we are going to get attacked. I want to know why, when that was handed to him on something like January 23rd, 2001, I want to know why that was handed off to the dude who preceded Brownie. I want to know the answer to that.
Just lose it. You know, I mean, it's just another way to lose it.
Yeah, I want an answer to the question. I can't remember the name of the book right now, but it's I've mentioned it before. It's an excellent. If you've got any interest at all in the way, for instance, that life at the military academies works, this book was written a couple of years ago. I read it, and it's a fascinating account. But it's what happens at the very end at graduation that just leaves you with your eyes sort of peeled back, because the author quotes the commencement address delivered at West Point, New York, at the United States Military Academy on June the 6th, 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And it's delivered by Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul Wolfowitz, head of the World Bank now. And he says, I can't tell you young officers what's coming, but all I can tell you is be prepared to be surprised.
What kind of stupid-ass remark is that to make at a commencement ceremony at West Point? What kind of dumb remark?
Nobody's touched this, Mitch, and that is, I mean, that's an admission that something was coming, because you have to read the body of the whole thing. He talks about Pearl Harbor, and we got to have another Pearl Harbor, and, you know, it's all that Project for a New American Century crap.
When Rumsfeld actually said, we shot down the plane that we shot down over Pennsylvania. We shot down over Pennsylvania. I mean, there's five words that you think would resonate a little bit, you know, in the American public.
Down the memory hole.
Oh, man, I tell you, it's just like, the American public, I mean, you could never lose money underestimating the stupidity of the American public. I mean, you know, W.C. Fields was right, man. You know, there's a sucker born every minute in this country. I mean, we top that.
Yeah, never give a sucker an even break.
Right, and I think that's the best Bush and Cheney run on, you know.
Yeah, and don't smarten up a chump.
That's it, man. Listen, buddy boy, get going. You probably said.
All right, thanks a lot, Mitch. Good to hear from you, man. Sorry about your Knicks this year, man.
No, they're going to win 20 games this year. I'm positive. Before this whole thing's over, they'll win 20, believe me. They said, you know what their goal is now? Their goal now is not to wind up with the worst record in the NBA.
Yeah, but didn't they get the first draft pick, don't they? Or they getting the lottery?
They already traded that away. That's gone.
Oh, well.
Yeah. That's history, man. They blew that a long time ago. But they got a great team. All they got to do is, learn how to play as a team. They got a lot of great individuals who all don't know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah, a bunch of stars running around. Well, you know, you saw that with the Lakers, too.
Yeah, they got Larry Brown. I'd like to see Larry Brown take them out over the summer and just kick their ass and bring them back next year with a team, you know?
Well, that might be what they desperately need. Mitch, so good to talk to you.
You too, man. Give my love to Aggie.
Will do. Bye now. Take care. Wow, great conversation. This is what makes this show so daggum much fun. But, yeah, I can't remember the name of the book. And, the more I talked about it back when I was reading it, people were amazed that that speech was out there. I'm sure if you Google around or whatever on the Internet, I'm sorry, internets, we have to deal with dear leaders' opinion making. If you Google around on the internets, you'll find the text of it's June 6th, 2001, commencement address at the United States Military Academy by Paul Wolfowitz, and you'll just read it and you'll feel this sense of coldness, and the little hairs will come up on the back of your neck because you realize that it's 3 months and a week before September 11th, and there is Paul Wolfowitz tipping his hand to the young graduating cadets of West Point. It's all right there in black and white, and you can look at it, and you can read it, I can't give any answers about 9/11 because I don't have any. But I do know that the line of hopeless BS we were handed by the government and the 9/11 commission that George Bush had to be dragged kicking and screaming into appointing, and then starts out trying to appoint what, Henry Kissinger? You know, that's the point where you look up and go, well, you know, they're dealing from the bottom of the deck, and this is going to be a con job. So, you know, we know where we are with that. But the learning curve from September 11th, is not about figuring out what happened on September 11th. The learning curve from September 11th is trying to figure out where October the 10th, how that happens. Or November 11th or December the 12th. You know, they've got this funny numerological thing. You know, the Madrid train bombing went down on what? 3/11. It's a matter of just being aware and trying to at least pay attention. At least that's the way that I see it. If you want to get involved in the program, jump right in. The conversation's fine. 877-443-2366 is the number. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Just can't go on like before, but can we still be friends? We had something to learn. Now it's time for the wheel to turn. Grains of sand, one by
If you missed last Sunday's All Things Reconsidered with Bruce Birch, here's some highlights. You know, stuff like that we hear about that sickens us, or that creates the kind of attitude in our thinking that is just like, we can't believe that people would actually do this. The reason why we think that is because we are basically good people and we want to help other people. We don't want to hurt other people. We want to help other people. Now, speaking for myself, this week I plan to do something to go out and help someone else. And I would strongly encourage that you do the same thing, because the only way that we're going to be able to turn this world around and to change anything is we've got to create the kind of world that we want to live in. And that means that instead of fussing about how bad things are, we've got to go out and do something good to turn it around. And if doing that something good means going and working on a Habitat house, if that's what you want to do, then by all means, please go do it. If doing something good means going down to the local homeless shelter and feeding the folks there, if doing something good means, you know, volunteering your time with some kids or going to the hospital and reading to cancer patients or whatever it might be, that's fine. But do it. Because that, by doing that, that's how we create the world that we want. That's how we create the world that we want. Join me every Sunday as we talk about how to make this world a better place. 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. That's allthingsreconsidered.org, a proud member of the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, this is Guy James. Remember me? As many of you know, I got the boot from the radio stations that carried my show a while back because I got a little too controversial for them to handle. Well, I'm back now, but I'll be doing my show 5 days a week from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time starting on March 20th. You can join us at theguyjamesshow.com or whiterosesociety.org. And if you like hard-hitting, thought-provoking, entertaining radio, then join us starting March 20th at theguyjamesshow.com or whiterosesociety.org for the new Guy James Show.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving.
Hmm.
And I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Because liberals built America. Head On with Bob Kincaid.
All right, welcome back.
I can't seem to face up to the facts. I'm tense and nervous and I can't relax. I can't sleep because my bed's on fire. Don't touch me, I'm a real live wire. Psycho killer.
Kind of know the feeling, don't you? Oh, God. Let's see. Yeah, let's not keep anybody waiting. Jeff is with us from PA on the phone. Hey, Jeff, you're Head On.
How you doing tonight, Bob?
Doing good, you?
Not too bad. Hell of a week so far.
Yeah, I mean, two days and I'm worn out, man.
One of the reasons I called sort of dovetails into the conversation, the statements from Sandra Day O'Connor and your earlier discussion about the whole September 11th situation. Back in October of 1967, Jim Garrison did an interview with Playboy.
Yeah.
Now, naturally, most of the article is, you know, discussing the whole JFK assassination. But when you get down to the last question, Mr. Garrison, a man I respect a lot, it makes some pretty prescient statements, basically outlining where we are today.
Yeah, well, a lot of people out there did see it coming. I mean, you go back to Henry Wallace in the 1940s, or was it H.L. Mencken that said fascism will come to America wrapped in a flag and carrying a cross?
Right. But a couple of really good sentences from this article. The first one, in a very real and terrifying sense, our government is the CIA and the Pentagon, with Congress reduced to a debating society.
There's a hell of a lot of truth in that, Jeff. And, you know, a lot of this, you know, for the most part, I'm a fan of Harry Truman. You know, plain spoken, well meaning, did the best he could. But now it just kind of makes me sick because the Bushevics are trying to recast George with his miserable sinking, you know, the amazing sinking president poll numbers. They're trying to, well, you know, Harry Truman, he wasn't popular once upon time, too, and he's great president right now. They're trying to recast him as Harry Truman, but if there is one failing of the Truman administration in the immediate post-World War II setting, it is that those governmental representatives, servants of the people, if you will, those people were the ones who gave us the national security state that set up the situation as you described it, where Congress becomes little more than a debating society.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I've said for a long time, I think the biggest problem we've got with the CIA is the fact that they are operational. You know, they should be intelligence gathering, period.
Yeah.
You know,
They don't need to be out there assassinating people or trying to poison Fidel Castro's beard. Everybody acted so surprised when the CIA was scapegoated as the patsy for George Bush's failure to do anything to try to stop 9/11 if he wasn't actively involved in it. But the fact of the matter is, the CIA's been screwing up for a long time. I mean, do you remember the hell that they put Bill Clinton through when Pakistan and India when they exploded their first nuclear devices, and everybody said, "Oh, the CIA sure was caught flat-footed on that one," and they wanted to take Bill Clinton out in the middle of Pennsylvania Avenue and flay the skin off of him.
Yeah, well, I have a feeling CIA was complicit in their gaining the capacity to do it.
And that's the thing. We have made ourselves a distrustful nation, Jeff, and we don't have to be that way.
Well, you know, I lost faith in government back in about 63, you know, and it wasn't until 2003 that I said, I can't stay away from it anymore.
Yeah, I understand it. There's a lot of heartbreak in all of this. I mean, the business with Feingold today in the Senate, Jeff, you know, the Democrats didn't want to vote on the resolution because they wanted a debate on the resolution. But the fact of the matter is, they got completely just punked.
Yeah.
by a pretty pathetic excuse for a senatorial procedural genius in the form of Bill Frist. Because now he gets, the Democrats wouldn't even support their own member, Senator Feingold. That just proves what I said is true. He's crazy. I mean, Frist came out and said Russ Feingold is insane. You know, you couple that up with Anthony Perkins calling for his assassination, and, you know, you pretty much got the Republican mindset and their operating strategy all rolled into one.
Yeah, of course, Tom Coburn is the epitome of an intelligent person.
Oh, Tom Coburn, please. I mean, that guy just, you know, missed the memo about not eating the brown acid. That's the only thing I can come up with for Tom Coburn.
No, can't say I haven't had my fair share there, but
yeah, but he never came back. I mean, I still remember Bart Kopp having a fit about him when he was running around Oklahoma screaming about rampant lesbianism in Oklahoma's junior high schools. Wow.
Yeah. Funny, I never see any of that.
Yeah, and you know, thank God Agnes isn't here. I'd probably get myself in trouble. But I mean, that's where these people are. They live in a dark and seedy, scary, mean-spirited, ugly little place, Jeff. And it's a place I don't want to be.
Yeah, well, I can't understand the mindset that you know allows them to be so fearful of everything in the world. It's just, you know, I've lived in and worked around, you know, some of the toughest places to get down the street in one piece, and I've never had any problem.
Well, do you remember? You remember when George Carlin did that brilliant comic piece about everybody needs a place to put their stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what it is with Republicans, I think, Jeff, because what they are, they're not concerned with their lives. They're not concerned with any of the philosophical stuff we would say points to a well-led life. They're concerned with their stuff, and so they have to be afraid of everything because they think everybody wants their stuff.
If you don't have any stuff, you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, what's that great line from me and Bobby McGee? Freedom's just another word for having nothing left to lose.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm up for freedom.
The freer, the better.
Yeah, exactly. Jeff, so good talking to you.
Okay, take care.
Bye now.
Bye.
And let's roll right along. We got a couple of minutes left. Hey, you're head on. Who have I got? Hello?
You got me. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing good, Rick. You?
Oh, well, Agnes was supposed to answer the phone, and I was able to say to her, I've taken that big pill tonight, Agnes. And she goes, you'll be fine, Rick. We love you.
Isn't she wonderful?
Yes, she is. Wasn't she off tonight?
No, she's out being mommy tonight.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's parent-teacher reception night at the local elementary school.
Oh, damn it. Is somebody going to die?
Oh, no. It's just, well, we like to make the teachers feel good because so many of the parents around here don't even show up. We like to show up and say, you know, hey, you know, we're into it for our kids. We want our kids to learn, and we appreciate what you're trying to do here. So meeting one was at like 6, and meeting two was at 6:30, which means meeting one probably started at 7. And
but you didn't bring the hammer, did you?
No.
You know how Agnes is claw side down every time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Right. She's everything's pretty cool and copacetic.
Okay, well, to all you listeners out there, I took that really big, powerful pill. So this is going to get a little weird.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. We'll let it get weird after the top of the hour, if that's okay, Rick.
That's all right. Are you using the hot clock?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, thank you.
We're cruising. We're cruising right along, and you know, I'm doing the best I can here by myself. It's not nearly as much fun without her.
Well, I got a bird that's over here right now that says dirty words. You want to hear some?
See,
go ahead and I'll hold.
You see what you do. Yeah. All right, I'll put you on hold here, Rick.
All right, thank you, man.
Sure. Our pal Rick from Panama City, Florida. We'll get into it after the top of the hour. You know, if you want to get in on it too, you're more than welcome. The number is, of course, 877-443-2366. Easy, right? Yeah, sure it is. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha!
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Richard Roundtree, and I'm a breast cancer survivor. Yes, you heard me right. Men get breast cancer too, and when we do, it can be very hard for us to talk about it and get support, because nobody expects a man to have breast cancer. But I know one place to get reliable, timely information about breast cancer. Breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the internet that translates all those big medical words your doctor uses into plain English. It helps you understand what kind of cancer you have and what treatments are out there. It helps you get your head together and make a list of questions for your next doctor's visit. And it gives you all kinds of other good information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Head On Radio Network News, I'm Bruce Birch. Guess who wants to run America's ports now? The Washington Business Journal reports that the Carlyle Group is thinking about taking over the port operations left open when Dubai Ports World backed out of the deal. Only a day after the Bush administration pressured DP World to back out, the Carlyle Group formed an 8-person team to look into taking over this lucrative operation. The Bush family is heavily invested in the Carlyle Group. The federal judge in the sentencing trial of Zacharias Moussaoui is letting the trial go forward. After the government was caught cheating by coaching key witnesses, defense lawyers had moved for a mistrial or for the U.S. to be barred from seeking to have Moussaoui killed. The judge ruled today that the trial can go forward, including the death penalty. She did bar the government from calling the witnesses it had illegally coached. Do you Google? If you do, George Bush's Justice Department wants to know where you surf on the web. A federal judge in California ruled today that he will force Google to turn over records on thousands of Americans to Alberto Gonzalez, the attorney general who authorized torture. The government says it wants to see the records for a study of kiddie porn on the web, but admitted to Judge James Ware that it could do the study without Google's help. It's not getting a lot of coverage, but there was an interesting arrest in Iraq yesterday. John Heist, an American mercenary in Iraq, was arrested by Iraqi security forces near Tikrit. Heist was taken into custody because he was carrying firearms and explosives. A U.S. official claimed Heist was arrested because he was traveling alone. The U.S. account made no mention of Heist's cache of explosives. The government's lying about the cause of death of a 14-year-old boy in Florida. That's the word from an independent physician hired to perform tests to determine the cause of death of 14-year-old Martin Anderson. Anderson was killed at a juvenile boot camp run by the state of Florida. The state's medical examiner said he died of sickle cell anemia after being beaten by several guards. The family's physician said today the young man didn't even have sickle cell anemia or the genetic trait for the disease. The beating was caught on videotape. Not one person has been charged in Anderson's murder. The FBI spied on yet another peace group. Instead of hunting for terrorists, the FBI got caught, again, spying on a group that opposes George Bush's war against the people of Iraq. This time, the target was the Thomas Merton Center for Peace and Justice. The FBI spied on the Pittsburgh group in 2002 and 2003, as it handed out leaflets detailing George Bush's illegal war plans. This is News from the Horn, Head On Radio Network News.
That's the Big Dipper over there.
Yellow and blue make green.
Well, a cow pie really isn't a pie.
Come on, Chris, open your eyes!
Remember, you're always teaching. Teach carefully. React with rage and kids will learn it's okay to do the same. Keep your cool and kids will do likewise. For advice, visit actagainstviolence.org. Brought to you by MetLife Foundation, National Association for the Education of Young Children, and the Ad Council.
Robertson says Muslims are satanic. Pat Robertson, the evangelist, said Monday on his fundamentalist show, 700 Club, that Muslims were, quote, satanic, unquote. He claimed that the outpouring of rage elicited by cartoons, quote, just shows the kind of people we're dealing with. These people are crazed fanatics, and I want to say it now. I believe it's motivated by demonic power. It is satanic, and it's time we recognize what we're dealing with, unquote. Donald Rumsfeld says, it's hard to tell whether Iraq is having a civil war.
What is the difference in your mind between sectarian violence and civil war?
You know, it's a good question, and we've been trying to look for a way to characterize what are the ingredients of a civil war, and how would you know if there was one, and what would it look like, and what might be its progression, either up to increased violence or down to less violence. And it's a hard thing to do, and people are analyzing that and thinking about it. And I think until I've had a chance to think more about it, I will say I don't think it'll look like the United States' Civil War.
88 murdered human beings were discovered in Iraq today. There was no indication of whether they died of sectarian violence or civil war. Global warming is here and may be irreversible. Sea ice in the Arctic has failed to reform for the second consecutive winter, raising fears that global warming may have tipped the polar regions into irreversible climate change far sooner than predicted.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid. Did you hear that Rumsfeld quote? Does that just not make you want to run naked out into the backyard, stick your head in a bucket of lye, pluck your eyeballs out, and run screaming off a cliff? Doesn't it just really? I'm Bob Kincaid. This is, of course, Head On, your nightly confrontation with the facts. Just the facts, man. We get all kind of Joe Friday round here about facts. I just for a minute, we're going back to the phone with our buddy Rick in Florida here in a second. But honest to God, I want to do that Rumsfeld quote again, because that just woohoo crazy.
What is the difference in your mind between sectarian violence and civil war?
You know, it's a good question, and we've been trying to look for a way to characterize what are the ingredients of a civil war, and how would you know if there was one, and what would it look like, and what might be its progression, either up to increased violence or down to less violence.
Really? A civil war has less violence?
And people are analyzing that and thinking about it. And I think until I've had a chance to think more about it and
because he hasn't thought about it so far.
We'll say I don't think it'll look like the United States' Civil War.
What do you mean? There won't be Gettysburg? There won't be boys in blue and gray and carriages with ladies with parasols, Don? Oh, my God. I haven't thought much about it. You know, we started the war 3 years ago. We're coming up on the third anniversary, of course. And I'm, you know, would a civil war have more violence or less? I remember hearing our dear friend Mike Malloy once describing Donald Rumsfeld just going off on a wild acid trip during a press conference. And now I know where that, you know, what that synaptic thing that did that for Mike. Because that's it. When you hear a guy discussing civil war like he's trying to come up with a new recipe in the kitchen for fudge, it's hard to think that the guy has any tangible relationship with anything you and I would recognize as sanity, for God's sakes. Right, Rick?
Absolutely. Let me just quote Rummy, or try to paraphrase him, because it's very difficult to quote that son of a gun. We know what we know, and then we know what we don't know. Then we know what we know, but we don't know, but we don't know what we know. But we know what we don't know, but we don't know what we know.
Yeah, there are known knowns and unknown knowns and garden gnomes. And little lambs eat ivy.
I mean, there was a guy, when he first showed up after Bush got elected, and he came out on the TV, and I was watching him. I said, this is a guy with a screw loose. There's something wrong with him. He needed more power, more influence. But in the very beginning, he didn't have any. Just look for some videos, January, February, March of 2000, and you'll see what I'm talking about. He came out on a couple of issues and made a couple of statements. And I immediately knew he was a stupid, weird, freaked out, fascist, creepy, you know, the expletives could go on. And I knew that, that this was a bad sign because they were putting him out as a front man. And he wasn't even prepared to, there was nothing going on in the country at the time. And he looked so out of place to be doing what he was doing. And nobody was catching it. And I was like, well, what's wrong with this guy? He's crazy.
Yeah, not a little bit. I mean, you know, great big honking, you know, woohoo, you know, just lit up nuts.
Just try to find those videos, listeners, and you too, Bob, and you'll see what I'm talking about. 2000. Just look at it. Prior to 9/11, he showed up one or two times, and he was a he would. If you don't walk away going like, oh man, what's wrong with this man? He's crazy. There's something wrong with him. And he was coming out with this aggressive posture and this weirdness and trying to slam the media. And at that time, they weren't cowed. And they were, and even the media was going like, I don't know what to do. What do we do with this guy? And then after 9/11, he became exactly that, and everybody accepted him as exactly that. And the media would just bend over the bench and get spanked every day by this guy. And the American public would laugh and watch and applaud and go hit them harder.
Yeah, and I don't know who the guy was that asked today's question. You know, how could you? But he said, you know, that's a great question. You know, the reporter probably felt so proud. Huh, you know, when honey, Don Rumsfeld said, I asked a great question. Oh, that's nice. That's nice, sweetheart.
Well, anybody wants to be honest with themselves, and you already know the media works for McDonnell Douglas. GE and all these other companies, and they do bring good things to death. They make war toys. They make their money on blowing things up and breaking things and supplying the armies that use their munitions to do exactly that. So if you think that they're going to report the news that's on your side, that's going to make you, the American public, know the truth about it, you're out of your mind. These people bring good things to death. That's what they do. And they're in charge of all of your media since the Fairness Doctrine was scrapped and you could consolidate to have three or four companies own your media. This is what you get.
You bring up the media. Knight Ridder newspapers just went on the auction block?
Yeah. Knight Ridder, of all things. And you know what's going to fall right after it? Just remember, you heard it here first. Reuters. Reuters will fall right after Knight Ridder, I guarantee it. I guarantee it. And then if you want to see any of the stuff that Reuters and Knight Ridder was doing, you're going to have to go over to the Arabic. You're going to have to because the BBC's already been compromised. So, I mean, there's a bid that's going on in the background right now for this Fox News Rupert. He's been trying to take control of the BBC forever, and it looks like he's going to take them.
God, I hope not.
Yeah, it looks like it. It looks like.
I mean, the BBC is owned by the people of the United Kingdom.
Uh-huh. You think, wouldn't you? And these are our airways.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. You made your point.
They are. Yeah, sure they are. That's why you've got your station sitting there at your house that can broadcast anywhere you want, unless you run an illegal pirate station. To run this show, then they'll come in and shoot you if you don't surrender.
Yeah, they'll come along with a little triangulating truck, and there he is.
Yeah, and they'll shoot
the illegal broadcaster.
And they'll shoot you, you'll shoot your wife, and they'll shoot your kids, and anybody gets in their way, the neighbors, anybody. If you don't believe me, go back a year and a half, 2 years ago to Pacifica Pirate Stadium or radio stations, and just see what they do to those folks. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
They'll do it. Am I lying?
No. I mean, it's the public airwaves, you know. If the public tries to broadcast anything on them, well.
Yeah. It's the public airwaves as long as you're part of the crowd. Item two, the kid in Panama City got killed by these wonderful boot camp people.
Yeah.
Murder.
Yeah, it was murder.
Murder. No one has been charged.
No.
Murder.
Probably won't be.
Oh. I'm telling you, in Panama City, you can die of natural. the cause is if you... Here's a typical suicide in Panama City, ladies and gentlemen. You will cut off your own head, leave it on the dresser, walk to the bed, lay down, and bleed to death. That's a suicide in Panama City.
Bob Ewell fell on his knife 32 times.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right. So it is murder. Even Dr. Bodden came down here and said it's murder.
Well, you know, where do you, honest to God, I mean, who did they expect would buy this business, Rick, about that poor kid? Well, you know, he had the sickle cell anemia trait, so he bled to death internally when they, you know.
Black man's disease.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's so sad about it. Couldn't they pick, like, kidney failure, something that white folk could get? But they had to pick something that only a black man could.
Well, but this is the time we live in. You know, dear God, Rick, what was it, 2-3 days ago, dear leader is presented with the horrifying story of a man who, a black man who survived for, you know, days on, you know, like nasty, rank canned goods in New Orleans until he was airlifted out or whatever to Salt Lake City, Utah. And what's dear leader's response? How about that? Were you the only black man in Salt Lake City? He said that.
You know how embarrassing and sad and humiliating that is as an American to me to hear that little piece of privileged crap to be able to get away with a statement like that?
Well, it's a pluribus unum. It's out of many things one. There's Pierce Bush's little interview on Today, Saturday last weekend. Did you catch that, Jim?
I just can't.
Well, either. Pierce Bush is Neil's baby boy.
Yeah. I saw it, the little red-headed son of a gun.
Yeah.
I saw it.
And he's like, you know, like, we just drove all night up from, like, you know.
They had disagreed.
Yeah, and, you know, like, you know, the Dubai port deal, you know, that was like anti-Arab racism, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can't judge, like, the entire Arab world because, like, you know, some people, like, who are, like, Arabs, like, flew their planes into our buildings. You know?
But then he
I mean, that's
caught.
Like judging all Americans by Timothy McVeigh.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
He said
and
that.
Then he got caught. He stepped in it. He said, well, I wouldn't have wrote the letter if I knew he disagreed, because Bush came out and said, I didn't know anything about this whole deal. I had nothing to do with it, yada, yada, yada. And so then he turns around mid-interview, tries to make it sound like, well, had I known, he had nothing to do with it.
Well, and see, the sleazes at NBC, did they bear down? Hell no, they didn't bear down. That fabulous news lady that was that does Saturday mornings there, did she ask him a single question about the fact that that little Pierce's daddy, Neil, after his educational software scam went south everywhere else, he went with his little handout over to the dictator of Dubai and solicited millions for his scam.
And thus created the No Child Left Behind CAT test that everybody has to take in this country now. They don't study, they don't learn history, they don't learn math. They're so busy studying Neil's test. Did you know that?
Yeah, I know. My kids take that stupid damn test every year.
That's all that's important.
You know,
to make sure the school is not a loser school.
See, I think I mean, that's a great little place for an easy sort of rise up and resist much, obey little kind of a situation. Parents who are in the situation of Agnes and I, you know, we got kids in the elementary, in the public school system.
I'm so grateful my job with that is over.
And, well, we ought to refuse to let our children be put through that hell and misery.
Yeah, but then you'd be part of the homeschool thing, which would put you in the...
No. Just keep them homesick during the testing. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
they're allergic to the test.
Yeah, but if you do, you watch what happened. They won't graduate. I mean, because it's all predication on graduation. You take a look at it. That's part of a credit hour now.
Well, I mean, you know, it's kind of hard to...
Better look at it.
It's kind of hard to do that in the elementary schools.
Well, do you think so? But not when everything that's mapped from the day you're born all the way up to the day you die is an information clearinghouse that's going to store everything that ever happened and you ever did. It's part of the record. It'll keep you out of jobs. It'll keep you out of opportunity. It'll keep you out of grants. Everything. You need to bone up, my friend.
Well, I still like the idea of the resistance. If enough people resisted it, it would go away.
Yeah, all right. I don't think so. It's a little late for that. Last thing.
Yeah.
Traitor Democrats. Traitor Democrats that went against Russ Feingold. There they are, right in your face, Democrat. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. They don't care about your kids. They don't care about everybody else's kids or anybody anywhere in this whole world. They are playing the good cop, bad cop.
Oh, it's wrestling. I mean, I'm looking at the story here, and, you know, this comes from the Mooney Times in Washington.
Oh, that's horrible.
At a press conference, Minority Leader Harry Reid of Nevada declined to endorse the resolution and said he hadn't read it.
Yeah, I mean, that guy, who put that guy? How did he get Daschle's job? How does a guy like that get Daschle's job?
How does a guy like that get a job as a milkman?
I mean, this weak sister, this Muppet, he is like
Muppet.
Lieberman on the drugs I'm on right now, only he can't handle them.
Lieberman on Seconal. Yeah.
I mean, what the hell is that? Who would put that little weak, I'm sorry. I have no respect for that man.
He has
nothing going on. He's a kitty cat.
Rick, it's a philosophical debate. I mean, this is the fight for the heart and soul of the Democratic Party. There are those of us who want to stand up, bloody the Republicans' damn nose, and dare them to swing back, and we know that they won't. They'll run crying away because we understand that they're bullies. On the other hand, the Democratic Leadership Council types, they think that all they have to do is sit still and do nothing and watch the Republicans screw up a little bit more, and next thing you know, the American people are going to sweep the Democratic Party back into power where it belongs.
You know what's going on, and I'm going to tell you this, and please pay attention because I think I got this.
Okay.
Here's what's going on. They're going to do the same thing. They are doing the same thing as they did when Clinton won the White House, and that is they're dividing the party to creating all these straw men and all these straw men arguments so that we all get into second and third parties and fragment. This is about the 2006 election, that we just all just divide and be conquered.
That doesn't play with me, Rick. I mean, well, it won't work with me. I'm not going to run off and join the Greens and whistle in a corner.
Well, I got news for you. A lot of people are going to. A lot of people are going to if we keep going on the course we're on. They're deliberately trying to divide and conquer. A house that's divided cannot stand. That's even biblical. I'm telling you, this is what this is all about. And Harry Reid and all these people are part of that strategy. They don't want to win. Hillary Clinton does not want to win.
Now, see, I differ with you.
They are slaves to the Republican Party.
Rick, I differ with you. I think they want to win, but they don't understand that you have to lead to win. They think they can win by default. They think they can win by just being quiet. If we're just quiet and we don't make any waves, the Republican. I know. I disagree with it. You disagree with it. But the fact that's how that's
the overrun by hedgehogs.
That's Al Fromm at the Democratic Leadership Council. That's what he believes. That's what Biden believes. That's what Lieberman believes. That's what so many of our members of the House of Representatives believe. If we will just be quiet and let them screw up.
Are you telling me that you refuse to accept the fact that your party, this Democratic Party that used to be mine, that forced me to become an independent, that I'm a Democrat at heart and have been ever since I stopped being a Republican? Are you telling me that you believe that they are not corrupt and that they are not a part of this abyss?
Hell yes, they're corrupt.
Country.
Hell yes, they're corrupt, Rick. But I got a job. I don't have time, and not in my lifetime will a third party ever succeed in the United States. Period.
No, that's right. That's what I'm trying to stop. They're trying to fragment us. That's exactly what I said.
Right. So we got to stand and fight. Refuse to be fragmented.
That's right. We've got to stay. They're trying to fragment us. The Democrats are trying to do this. This DLC group is trying to do this. We must not fall for it the way the Republicans did, and they ended up with Clinton. Do you understand what happened? They used Perot and everything to fragment the party. And they've used that creep from the Green Party, that guy that I used to love, that got rid of the Corvair. What's his name?
Nader.
Nader. they used him to get rid of Gore. We're about ready to come right in line and become fragmented and have our party busted up that we're all going in all these different directions. And the Democrats are the ones that are in on this, and we've got to make sure that we don't do that. We've got to
Exactly. We've got to make sure that we don't do that, Rick. And look, I think you and I are mostly on the same page. You and I want the Democratic Party of Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
That's right. Correct.
Okay. There are a lot of us who do. There are not many members of the Democratic Party, and when I say members of the Democratic Party, I'm not talking about the DLC. I'm not talking about the people that go to, you know, $1,000 lunches and eat Lark's Vomit canapes and all that crap. I'm talking about real boots on the ground Democrats.
Workers, union people like Wayne.
Yeah, you walk out the door and you talk to some Democrat and you say, "Don't you think the Democratic Party should be like FDR's Democratic Party?" And they go, "Hell yes."
Hell yes is right, but right now they're feeding us a load of crap.
That's your opening, Rick. That's your opening. When you get hell yes on should this be the FDR Democratic Party, that is your opening. That's when you begin to say, well, you know what? You don't have that party right now. That party doesn't exist. It's up to you to take it back.
Yeah, that's your opening, except for a lot of our Democrats that work at the junior stores, the Big Ten Tires, and all these places have turned around and voted Republicans because of hot-button issues, and they don't realize, or they should realize, I don't know why they don't, that they're voting away their personal interests and their family's interests and their mother and father's interests. They have successfully manipulated a big chunk of our party, our working-class party, to vote away what is best for themselves. And I'm telling you, if we don't put a halt to this little thing about destroying our party and fragmenting our party and letting these people wander off the reservation, if we can't stop that, we will hemorrhage to death. It has to be stopped.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. But I don't think that the DLC types are the majority. The only place where they're a majority is in Congress.
They are,
or in the, you know, in the upper ranks of the upper reaches of the Democratic Party.
No, the majority with the media support and the Republican support. See, this is what the problem is. They're getting all the press. All the rest of us aren't getting anything. Wayne, come on and help me with this, because you know what I'm trying to say. What is happening is this skeleton crew that is totally automated our ship is getting all of the sunshine.
Well, yeah, look, Howard Dean is trying.
Howard Dean is trying, but he gets slapped down by Harry Reid. He gets slapped down by that freak from Vermont, which I had many arguments with. The big guy with the glasses.
Patrick Leahy?
Yeah, he is a scumbag. I'll check his voting record.
No, I know. Well, he's one of those Bart Cup Pink Tutu Democrats.
He is a scumbag. That guy will sell you out the first chance you get. He sold us out on NAFTA, GATT, the Mexican bailout, everything. This guy will vote for anything that's Republican as long as he can slide in on the back door. Then he comes crawling up and acts like he's a Democrat. I'm telling you, I used to live in Burlington, Vermont. Nobody likes that guy. The home of the progressive, for Pete's sake. What I'm trying to say is, and that's why I need somebody to help me out here, is that the people that are getting the press that are Democrats are not Democrats. They're part of this coup that has aligned itself and on a flying lip lock with the Republican Party, because they're just as dirty and guilty as they are. And if the Republican Party goes down, so do they. They'll be found out. They're dirty. Biden's dirty. All these people are dirty. Take a look at these guys, man. They're the wrong people at the wrong time. I mean, they're going. If these people keep getting the press, our party will be just deluged with Republican voters. We're not going to have anything. We won't even get a chance to vote.
Well, I fear you may be correct in a lot of your analysis, Rick. But that means it's all the more important for us to stand behind and he's screwed up too from time to time, but it's important to stand behind somebody like Russ Feingold. Some of this wrangling that went on today, I can't. Harry Reid saying, you know, I haven't read it yet. You know, what a weasel. But the fact that, but this much I'll say is true. When you're dealing with a situation where they're going to vote the resolution down 10 minutes after the thing's been introduced, what you want is debate on it.
Yes.
And so what we were forced into today was a situation where we're either going to vote on it right now without debate, or we're going to put it off. And the decision was made, the Democrats wouldn't let it go through to a vote, and they put it off.
But
either way, they lost.
Yeah, that's right. Heads I win, tails you lose.
And now it becomes, in all truth, it becomes an issue, Rick, for those who can frame it. And that's, you know, that's what I'm trying to do.
Fine, and I'm waiting for a few of these other people. Like, I mean, if we could get some people in Congress to start talking about, like McKinney and everybody, then they'll get some rhetoric at least.
Well, there's 29 signatures now on John Conyers' resolution in the House. Now that's a far cry from anything that would mean anything, but that gives you an idea of what 29 brave Democrats look like.
That's right, but they're getting no press, and nobody knows about it because people like Reid and Biden and that other creep from Vermont are just—they get all the press. The person that's getting the press that really bothers me that he doesn't come right out and talk is Kennedy. I don't know what's going on with Ted. He could take this on, and he'll get the press, and he could talk about it. Now, I know he gets beat up over Chappaquiddick and everything else, but he's used to that, and I'm just waiting. He needs to be one to take the lead. He needs to do something Kennedy greatness for this country. He needs to, because he will get the eyeball. They can't hide Kennedy. They can hide Feingold, but they can't hide.
Well, that tells us that there is. That there is some serious smoke-filled room stuff going on. Rick, we got to roll on. Thanks for all the many thoughts. I do appreciate
it. Thank you. I'm always glad to call up, and great job, Bob.
Thanks, Rick. Take care.
Bye now.
Bye now. All right, let's take our break. It's time for our Cup of Joe report for the evening. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Oh, where have you been, my blue-eyed son? Where have you been, my darling young one? I've stumbled on the side of 12 misty mountains. Walked and I crawled on 6 crooked highways. Stepped in the middle of 7 sad forests. Been out in front of a dozen dead oceans. I've been 10,000 miles in the mouth of the graveyard. It's a hard, and it's a hard, and it's a hard, and it's a hard, and it's a hard rains are gonna fall.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. Now that the Republican Party has proven yet again that they're incapable of governing, apologists for conservatism are once more claiming that this group wasn't really conservative. As I've mentioned before, the definition of what conservative actually is changes with every failure, so that when the next crop of self-centered, greedy, racist, hedonistic incompetents show up hawking the latest fad, they can announce to the world that, yes, this group are the real conservatives. Until, of course, they screw things up again and the cycle repeats itself. To be fair, there are and have been some real conservatives in this country. They stood for the British during the Revolutionary War. They stood for slave owners and businessmen who used slave labor. And they stood against pretty much anything that makes life better for anyone, except the opportunistic few who see themselves as the motor of the world from whom all things emerge. And I'll give them credit for consistency, because no matter how badly or how often the latest batch of conservatives screw up, they still refuse to accept the fact that conservatism, while an effective campaign tool, is a complete and utter failure as a governing philosophy. Liberal policies are what made this country great. Liberals freed us from the British, fought to end slavery, demanded that a day's work equal a day's pay, and they did it all with the anchor of conservatism tied firmly around their necks. Maybe someday we'll learn to get rid of that anchor, or at least lighten it enough so that we can walk upright instead of being dragged into the ground. Now get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Hi, this is Guy James. Remember me? As many of you know, I got the boot from the radio stations that carried my show a while back because I got a little too controversial for them to handle. Well, I'm back now, but I'll be doing my show 5 days a week from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time starting on March 20th. You can join us at theguyjamesshow.com or whiterosesociety.org. And if you like hard-hitting, thought-provoking, entertaining radio, then join us starting March 20th at theguyjamesshow.com or whiterosesociety.org for the new Guy James Show.
On the last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Ann Braden.
You know, I got interested in Ann's life because of her being a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss a tell.
FourthEstateRadio.com.
A man who has the heart of a conservative, pickled in a jar on his desk. It's Bob Kincaid.
Okay, so we're halfway done with tonight. The glass is half empty, half full, depending. And I'm just glad there's a glass. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On Tuesday night. And so many things that we haven't gotten to yet. There is an undercurrent of frustration that is palpable in those of us who are members of the Democratic Party, and we yearn for real leadership. And we see what went down today, where, you know, Harry Reid in his little weasel suit says, "I haven't read his resolution." Well, Harry, you were in the room, buddy, when he read it, when he gave his speech on the freaking floor. Or at least that was my impression, because Harry Reid got up and stood and talked about how Mrs. Inouye had just passed away as soon as Russ Feingold was done speaking. So I thought that was a little bit disingenuous. But the fact of the matter is, we are sadly lacking in leadership in the Democratic Party, in the Congress, and these guys got smoked today. Oh my God, by Bill Frist. David is calling from Maine. Hey, David, you're Head On.
Well, hello, Bob. How are you tonight?
Doing good. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I'm just kind of like getting in the headlines. And basically, first off, I want to say RIP to the Press Your Luck game host who died in a plane crash.
Oh, no.
Yep. I can make a joke about that, but I won't.
Yeah, you whammy?
Yeah. You could basically say that. And the game show was called Press Your Luck.
Yeah, that's true. But that's just sad. I hadn't read that.
His wife also died in a plane crash, too.
Oh.
It's just amazing what's happening to this country on a level that's going right now. But I keep looking back and I keep saying, well, everything seems to be coming to a head because we just didn't pay attention enough. Mm-hmm. We just kind of laughed it off, and in a way, I look at it and I go, you know what? That's what you get for not paying attention.
Oh, there's a significant portion of the population of this country that I hold directly responsible for a lot of the crap that we're dealing with right now, and I'm not most of the time I'm not in a very forgiving mood, David. The people that voted for George Bush in November of 2000, you know, West Virginia, my precious mountain state here, had we not given our five electoral votes to George Bush in 2000, what the whole rigmarole in Florida wouldn't have even mattered.
Well, I just have to say that what I believe, what is meant to happen, happens, and you just have to. I look at it like this. You have to find some good in it. And I'm looking at this as, okay, these are challenges, and it's emotional weight training, basically. It's emotional and spiritual weight training. Just think of it like that. And you think of all the other countries that go through the same kind of things that we're going through on a much deeper level. And you know the old saying, it could be worse?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, yes, it could be worse. We could be parasites or leeches. Or something of that nature. I mean, there's just all kinds of things. And I know a lot of people. And I just think, basically, you know what it is, Bob? It's this. The Western society is taught to avoid suffering to such a degree. I was watching a movie, and I found it interesting. It was Tupac Resurrection. I recommend it, actually.
Okay.
And in the intro, what they did was they have Tupac's voice as the narration. And in it, he says, He goes, I don't understand. He goes, they looped him off an interview, and he says, I don't understand why people try to make us fear death. He goes, there's two options. He goes, either it's death and there's nothing, or the other option is you become an angel, or something like that. But basically, what I'm saying is I don't know, but for some reason, the West has taught us to fear suffering and all kinds of pain and everything, and so now we're dealing with it, and basically because we've been taught from in this society, we need to learn how to adjust to a degree of suffering that we've never suffered before. And I think that's kind of tragic in a way.
Yeah,
but I also think it's necessary, because if you look at all the countries that have gone through maybe what we're about to go through, you just have to look on the clock and say, Bob, it's time. It's time for us to experience what everyone was talking about in the Great Depression. Now, that may sound sick, but I think everything's still cyclical. And the pendulum swings to a different civilization every time, because that's just the way it is. And I believe that all of us, we just have to find the best in every situation, even if we hit rock bottom. And I remember looking at those National Geographic pictures, and, you know, you probably did the same. You look at it, and you'd be like, wow, I can't imagine being in that society. That would suck.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like the observer. So maybe it's time to be the actual.
Well, you know, I think you may have a point, David, in terms of, it's that pendulum swing you're talking about. When that thing swings far enough to the right and everything does go to hell in this society, and it is going to happen.
Right.
I don't necessarily think it'll be good for us, but it will do what it has traditionally done, and that is turn the lights on for one generation. That's why I said a couple of nights ago that, you know, the reason the Republicans couldn't get away with everything they wanted under Reagan was because there was still a generation that was alive that remembered the last time they tried to pull that crap under Harding and Coolidge and Hoover.
Well, you know, Bob.
But they're gone now, and that's why you get what Bush is doing now.
I just have constantly in my head that Steely Dan song, Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
The first verse is constantly in my head. That's how I'm preparing. maybe I have a pessimistic nature in basic life in general.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people just seem to look at everything as like our civilization's the best, nothing can happen to it, And if it happens, oh, no, I can't believe it. I guess, can't believe it. We were still the best society ever.
Yeah, David, I guess there are some people out there that believe that way. But all you have to do is look at, I lived in Atlanta for a time. And every day on the way to work, I would cross the Chattahoochee River. And you can wade across the Chattahoochee River in most spots. And that entire area gets its drinking water from that little stream. And so the idea, no, this is, all of America is incredibly fragile, more so after these years of Bush, when our bridges are crumbling, our railroad infrastructure is more or less gone for all practical purposes. The airlines, while we were worrying about Dubai ports, there was discussion about letting foreign companies take over our airlines. I mean, I don't know. I think you're a little bit younger than me, so maybe you don't remember. But as a kid, I can remember when there was Eastern Airlines and Pan Am and TWA and Piedmont and Continental and Ronald Reagan came in and said, "Well, it will be better for business if we deregulate the airline industry." And boom, there go the airlines.
Do you think in this decade that they will privatize the water? I know that sounds crazy, but
well, we've already done it to a certain degree here in West Virginia. When we pay our water, we had a public water supply that was financed by taxpayer dollars and put in for our little community here, and then they turned around and sold it to West Virginia American Water Company, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of American Water Company, which in turn is a wholly owned subsidiary of a British holding company, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of a German company. My water bill goes to Germany.
That's crazy. I wonder if it means like that, too.
I wouldn't. Well, West Virginia or American Water is all over the East and Southeast. I wouldn't be surprised in the least, David.
Right. That's why in my... when you live in the country in Maine, it's better just to get your well water.
Well, see, we West Virginia is similar to Maine in that we are both very, very well-watered states.
Right.
I mean, they're great, abundant water supplies. Only problem is here in West Virginia, because we got coal under our rocks and our dirt, we've got a maniacal coal industry that is destroying the water table. When I was a little kid, we've got a well here. When I was a little kid, I always loved coming up here on vacation because the water was so good, and we'd hand crank it up out of the well and put it into the bucket, and it was ice cold and crystal clear, and it's not anymore because they strip mined out our road a few years back, and now it's not anywhere near what it was once upon a time. And in southern West Virginia, their wells are absolutely polluted with heavy metals and poisons that are affecting their kids. And the coal industry here, David, says, "Well, you know, that is the price of progress. We are blah 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 blah," and they're killing people.
That's just amazing in itself. I was watching that story on the Montana.
Yeah.
I think it was I think it was Montana. The guys they were going to do the strip mining there, the senator or something like that.
Well, the governor of Montana wants to.
The governor of Montana.
Brian Schweitzer, oddly enough, a Democrat, wants to pit mine the eastern third of Montana, and turn it into liquefied fuel to supposedly offset our addiction to foreign oil. And that's just a big old dog and pony show. It's a scam. It's another con, David. They could mine Montana till there wasn't a scrap of coal left in it, and we would still be oil junkies to the Middle East.
I have one more thing.
Sure.
About the what do you think the consequences ultimately are when people are going to get what they want, which is this Iran war? I mean, what is the do you think a lot of people have worked out the scenarios like, well, this could happen and this could happen? And what do you think is the worst that could come of the Iran war?
Oh, the war against Iran could wind up being the absolute downfall of the United States, period. Because we don't have a military right now that can fight that war.
Do you think that would be a call to jihadism,
the problem here, David, is we don't have a military to fight the Iran war that George Bush wants so bad he can taste it like blood in his mouth. okay? So that means, and this goes back to his sort of childish, this goes back to him blowing up frogs with M-80s when he was a kid. He thought it was fun. He thought it was cool. And George Bush wants to see a nuclear explosion happen. And he wants to see the airburst over Tehran. And so once we nuke Tehran, because that's the only thing we've got. We got guns, we got bombs, we got missiles, we got Tomahawk cruise missiles in submarines and guided missile destroyers. We do not have a Marine Corps we can put into Iran. We don't have an army that we can put into Iran. We've wasted it all in the stinking, filthy, bloody sands of Iraq, and we can't even do that job right. Not because of the military, but because of the military's civilian leadership and high brass.
Do you really think he's going to get that wish? The mushroom cloud over Iran.
If he can get to the point, yeah, I would. You know, all it takes is let's say a dirty bomb going off in the inner harbor of Baltimore on a container ship, and that's a nuclear attack on the shores of the United States, and that allows George Bush to retaliate. And you can bet your butt, David, that he'll have his national security advisor, Stephen Hadley, in there, and he'll say, I need the evidence that this was Iran's doing.
Do you think they'll pay someone to do that? Like, they'll actually have, like, a mercenary squad just like, okay, you guys put a bomb right there? I mean, they're probably thinking if they're going to go along the same lines, they're not going to do like a 9/11.
It was the Kennedy administration, David, when the CIA came to John Kennedy and said, look, Cuba's a real thorn in our side. We need to have a reason to invade Cuba and kill Castro. Here's our plan. We call it Operation Northwoods. You can look it up.
I've heard of Operation Northwoods.
We'll do is we'll set off some bombs in a big American city, and we'll kill a bunch of American civilians, and we'll say that the Cubans did it, and we can go right to Cuba. That's the way the CIA thought then. It's the way the CIA thinks now. So you ask me, will they do it? No, David, they already have. The plans are in the can.
Yeah, it seems that way.
That's where we are. It's terrifying. I mean,
yeah.
I look at my little kids, and I'm terrified for them because I know that there are madmen and killers in Washington, D.C. who don't give a tinker's damn about their lives. You know, you get somebody like George Allen, a Republican presidential hopeful, senator from Virginia, and he says on Meet the Press on Sunday that you never want to take the military option off the table in talking about Iran.
Well, Pat Robertson thinks they're all Satanists.
Well, and that's part of the setup, because there's 2 or 3 million people who watch Pat and go, yes, Brother Robertson, you're absolutely right. You know, so we know that there will be a few million Americans who are going, yeah, nuke the little bastards. We know that they're there, and there will be rallies, just like there were rallies before the Iraq War. And unfortunately,
do you think most American people will get behind the Iran War?
I hate to say it, but I'm afraid they will.
I don't know, Bob, because this time, I think that they'll try to like say, well, we have to do this and do that, and they'll try to reason it, but I think most American people, like they did with the protests, because we all know that the polls that they were doing or whatever they were doing was just kind of like ginned up in the basically.
Yeah.
We all knew, because when you look at the streets and whatnot, you saw the streets packed with hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people.
Well, see, but David, my thinking on this isn't just in terms of current politics. If you know your Civil War history, you know that fine ladies and gentlemen rode out into the Washington, D.C., into the countryside around Washington, D.C., to watch those scurrilous rebels get chased back to where they, you know, where they came from at what became known as the Battle of First Bull Run. And instead, they watched the Union troops get their guts stomped. And you know, some of those civilians, spectators, were killed in the process. There's a certain element in American society, David, that likes a war as a spectator sport.
You think China will turn her back on us if we do invade Iran?
Turn their backs? No. That's why I said if the Iran war could be the end of the United States. Yeah, there's a whole chain of events. It's just horrifying. Let's see. We blame Iran for bombing Baltimore Harbor.
Yeah.
So we nuke Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Pakistan nukes India. India nukes Pakistan. China nukes us. I mean, can I mean it's not at all complicated to figure out. Anybody who's ever played a, you know, one of those all night games of Risk with your buddies in the dorm room or something knows how this kind of crap can go down.
Right.
And we're dealing with people that are paid hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars a year, to sit in Washington and come up with ways to, you know, they're not even think tanks anymore. They're justification tanks. They're delusion tanks. You know, how can we put together a fantasy where we get to kill Iran and nothing happens to us? You know, no. I mean, and meanwhile, the one joker in the deck that I didn't mention, Kim Jong-il.
Yeah.
That crazy little bastard, he'll do, you know, he'll take an opportunity like that to, you know, put it, you know, he'd love to put a nuke on top of Tokyo. Sure he would.
Yeah, I can actually see that happening with somebody like that.
Yeah, I mean, it would get crazy. I mean, that dude would get in a rubber raft and start rowing for Seattle if he got a chance.
You have to wonder if somebody's trying to bottle the bird flu right
now. Well, you got to wonder a lot of things because so much of this is driven, David. We got to remember, so very much is driven by the Pat Robertsons of the world. You know, George Bush said, "What do I think will history will think of me?" Well, I don't know that history will think anything because I don't know if there's going to be a history.
Oh yeah, I remember that from that Ron Suskin article.
Yeah, these people believe that, and it's like I was talking with Mitch at the beginning of the program. These people, David, they believe that the end times are upon us, and Jesus will be coming shortly in a cloud of glory.
Did you read that Chris Matthews letter that's going around where he sent to another NBC associate?
No, I don't think I've seen that.
Oh, you have to read that, Bob. When you read it, you just like. The face comes off, the mask totally comes off. You see what Chris is about right there. I'll have to send it to you.
Oh, do please, do please. We got to roll out of here right
all
now,
right.
Though. David, you have a great evening. So good to hear from you again. I guess spring may be coming to Maine one of these days, won't it?
Right. Well, I just wanted to call in, and I'll call in regular.
All right. Thanks, David. Take
all
care.
All right. Bye.
Bye now. All right. Your calls are welcome. 877, the number 4, head on. 877-443-2366. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is Bruce Birch, and here's one of my recent rants on George Bush. He's living an opposite world. It's like everything that he says, it's just completely the opposite to reality. Okay, he says that the low level of public support for his policies in Iraq showed that the public had been distracted from achievements made in that country by images of violence on the news. So he's blaming the news. He's blaming the news for reporting the freaking truth. Rather than his propaganda, which he likes to catapult. All right. Well, I just wanted to deviate from the Alito stuff because I think it's pretty important to remember how stupid the president is. You know, because you know we need to know how stupid he is, right?
And so, in my speech to the nation, whatever you want to call it, speech to the nation. I
Americans to give 4,000 hours over the next of the rest of your life of service to America. That's what I asked. I said 4,000 hours.
Join me, Bruce Birch, every Sunday evening, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, as we point out the stupidity of the Bush regime. AllThingsReconsidered.org. Head on Radio Network News, I'm Bruce Birch. Guess who wants to run America's ports now? The Washington Business Journal reports that the Carlyle Group is thinking about taking over the port operations left open when Dubai Ports World backed out of the deal. Only a day after the Bush administration pressured DP World to back out, the Carlyle Group formed an 8-person team to look into taking over this lucrative operation. The Bush family is heavily invested in the Carlyle Group. The federal judge in the sentencing trial of Zacharias Moussaoui is letting the trial go forward. After the government was caught cheating by coaching key witnesses, defense lawyers had moved for a mistrial or for the U.S. to be barred from seeking to have Moussaoui killed. The judge ruled today that the trial can go forward, including the death penalty. She did bar the government from calling the witnesses it had illegally coached. Do you Google? If you do, George Bush's Justice Department wants to know where you surf on the web. A federal judge in California ruled today that he will force Google to turn over records on thousands of Americans to Alberto Gonzalez, the attorney general who authorized torture. The government says it wants to see the records for a study of kiddie porn on the web, but admitted to Judge James Ware that it could do the study without Google's help. It's not getting a lot of coverage, but there was an interesting arrest in Iraq yesterday. John Heist, an American mercenary in Iraq, was arrested by Iraqi security forces near Tikrit. Heist was taken into custody because he was carrying firearms and explosives. A U.S. official claimed Heist was arrested because he was traveling alone. The U.S. account made no mention of Heist's cache of explosives. The government's lying about the cause of death of a 14-year-old boy in Florida. That's the word from an independent physician hired to perform tests to determine the cause of death of 14-year-old Martin Anderson. Anderson was killed at a juvenile boot camp run by the state of Florida. The state's medical examiner said he died of sickle cell anemia after being beaten by several guards. The family's physician said today the young man didn't even have sickle cell anemia or the genetic trait for the disease. The beating was caught on videotape. Not one person has been charged in Anderson's murder. The FBI spied on yet another peace group. Instead of hunting for terrorists, the FBI got caught, again, spying on a group that opposes George Bush's war against the people of Iraq. This time, the target was the Thomas Merton Center for Peace and Justice. The FBI spied on the Pittsburgh group in 2002 and 2003, as it handed out leaflets detailing George Bush's illegal war plans. This is news from the Horn, Head On Radio Network News.
That's the Big Dipper over there.
Yellow and blue make green.
Well, a cow pie really isn't a pie.
Come on, Chris, open your eyes!
Remember, you're always teaching. Teach carefully. React with rage and kids will learn it's okay to do the same. Keep your cool and kids will do likewise. For advice, visit actagainstviolence.org. Brought to you by MetLife Foundation, National Association for the Education of Young Children, and the Ad Council.
Robertson says Muslims are satanic. Pat Robertson, the evangelist, said Monday on his fundamentalist show, 700 Club, that Muslims were, quote, satanic, unquote. He claimed that the outpouring of rage elicited by cartoons, quote, just shows the kind of people we're dealing with. These people are crazed fanatics, and I want to say it now. I believe it's motivated by demonic power. It is satanic, and it's time we recognize what we're dealing with, unquote. Donald Rumsfeld says, it's hard to tell whether Iraq is having a civil war.
What is the difference in your mind between sectarian violence and civil war?
You know, it's a good question, and we've been trying to look for a way to characterize what are the ingredients of a civil war, and how would you know if there was one, and what would it look like, and what might be its progression, either up to increased violence or down to less violence. And it's a hard thing to do, and people are analyzing that and thinking about it. And I think until I've had a chance to think more about it, and I will say I don't think it'll look like the United States' civil war.
88 murdered human beings were discovered in Iraq today. There was no indication of whether they died of sectarian violence or civil war. Global warming is here and may be irreversible. Sea ice in the Arctic has failed to reform for the second consecutive winter, raising fears that global warming may have tipped the polar regions into irreversible climate change far sooner than predicted. Dr. Mark Serres, a sea ice specialist at the U.S. National Snow and Ice Data Center in Colorado, said, quote, "In September 2005, the Arctic sea ice cover was at its lowest extent since satellite monitoring began in 1979, and probably the lowest in the last 100 years. While we can't be certain, it looks like 2006 will be more of the same." End quote. For Head On Radio Network News, I'm Bruce Birch.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All right, then. You got about 50 minutes or so. If you've got a bee in your bonnet, a burr under your saddle, and you want to get it out and get a little relief, other than that, you got to wait a while, you know, like till tomorrow. You know, for me, 24 hours can be just sheer hell. The parade of indignities and just plain meanness and ugly, bloody, nasty politics that I watch through the course of a day, and I'm, come on, 7 o'clock, come on, get here, baby. I can't stand it anymore. That's 24 hours in the life of Bob. Because, I don't know, there's a cathartic sort of help that I get from you guys. And I'm so glad you're there, because otherwise, I don't know, I think I might just spontaneously combust. Now, you heard the news story there about Pat Robertson and what he said. You deserve to at least, we're going to the phones right now, just in a second, but before we do that, I want you to hear crazy-ass old Pat Robertson talking, you know, trying to get World War III started. You think some people out there that weren't raised in the fundamentalist Baptist tradition that I was may think that I'm exaggerating when I talk about people sitting there in church going, "Come, Lord Jesus, and let us kill some Jews." I'm not. It's real. It's very, very real, and it's chief spokesman is Pat Robertson. Okay.
These people are crazed fanatics, and I want to say it now. I believe it's motivated by demonic power. It is satanic, and it's time we recognize what we're dealing with. And the goal of Islam, ladies and gentlemen, whether you like it or not, is world domination. These people are saying it over there in Europe. World domination. We're going to take over Europe. We're going to take over England. We're going to take over Denmark. We're going to take over France. That's their goal. And by the way, Islam is not a religion of peace.
Got that? You got that? Crazy. Crazy, put him in a rubber room, give him the purple crayon, and let him write on the walls with his toes. Crazy.
900-foot Jesus like Oral
Roberts. This guy's, he ain't home. But the thing is, he is priming a certain segment of the American population for nuclear holocaust. And it's Jerry Falwell who stood in the pulpit on Sunday and said, "I don't believe in global warming, and I won't sign on to no document about global warming, because global warming is satanic. It is a satanic plot to take people away from the spirit of Christ Jesus." He did. He did. I'm paraphrasing, but he did last Sunday. "I don't believe in global warming. Well, you know, I mean, what are you going to, you know, who gives a damn what you believe, Jerry? You know, because facts are facts, science is science, and reality is reality. You know, I don't believe in the law of gravity. After all, one of these days, I'm going to defy gravity and just fly away home to Jesus. Believe, the single most dangerous, hateful word in the entire English language. Believe. Let's go to the phones. Bob is with us from North Dakota. Hey, Bob, you're head on.
Hello.
How are you?
Hey, I'm fine. I was just looking at an open letter to George W.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's on the Buzz Flash.
Ah.
Yeah. And, you know, Rummy had a little problem with figuring out what a civil war was.
Yeah, don't that beat all?
Yeah, just kind of, you know, look in dictionary. You know, a dictionary defines a civil war as a war between factions or regions of the same country. And two, a state of hostility or conflict between elements within an organization. Civil war. It's very simple. I mean, you can't define it any different than that. You know? And then with this thing about Pat Robertson and his demonic possession of Europe by Muslims, hey, how about the demonic possession of Pat Robertson?
Well, you know, that's a starting point as far as I'm concerned,
Bob.
If you
really look at it, I have a picture of him putting out that, I don't know, that same thing George Bush does with his two fingers, kind of if you go to Denmark and, you know, up there in the Nordic, that is a sign of the devil, you know. And I've got a picture of him talking his Jesus stuff and putting down the sign of Satan, okay? So if you want to talk about who the real people are that are demonically possessed, let's talk about the, what do you call them? You said it, Bob. You say it better than I do. The Bible, what?
Oh, the religion industry?
Yeah, the religion industry. Yeah, they are more possessed by their own demons. I mean, they're demons of hate. And they are
as crazy as the craziest Wahhabi, because they're willing to get us killed. They're, you know,
Absolutely. They're ready to destroy the planet. They're ready to kill every living thing on the Mother Earth.
Yeah. Sweet little blue green time machine hurtling through the universe.
Yeah. And it was very comfortable when I was a child. It really was. I mean, we had seasons, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, I live in North Dakota, and you know, we used to have winters up here that, I mean, they were real winters, but for the last couple, we ain't had no winter. And this last year, I mean, right now, there's not a bit of snow on the ground, and it's just, it is unbelievably dry.
Yeah, what's going to happen to your growing season out of this kind of stuff, Bob?
Well, we don't have any moisture, Bob, and there's not going to be any moisture in the ground that will germinate the seed that will grow the hard red spring wheat that everybody loves to eat in their pasta. You know, that
semolina.
Huh?
Semolina.
Yeah. Hard red spring wheat. But anyway, I'm kind of beeping here. My batteries are dying. I waited too long.
Oh, doggone it.
Sorry.
Anyway, loved you and Agnes. And to the rest of the world, just realize that you've been lied to. You've been cheated and you've been, you know, kind of left out of the thing. So it's time to, you know. Oh, bye.
All right. Take care, Bob.
Oh, you're still there. Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Anyway, I just go to Buzz Flash and look at that open letter. It just tickled me. I read it that, you know, hey, bait and switch.
That's the way they operate. I'm headed for Buzz Flash now, Bob.
Do that. Look it up. Open letter to George W. Okay?
All right. You take care, Bob.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye now. You know, the global warming, the people that don't, you know, like Falwell, don't believe in global warming as if their faith had something to do with climatology, for God's sakes. They don't, well, you know, that'll be nice. That means the winters won't be so hard anymore. And things, you know, we'll have earlier spring in North Dakota. No. What Bob said is very true. Winter is the time when the snows replenish the moisture content in the water table, among other things. What you're going to wind up with, you know, and it's in North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, stretching north into Saskatchewan and Manitoba and Alberta. You're going to have a high desert. Hop on your copy of Google Earth and go take a look at the Great Gobi Desert. That's your high altitude. You know, go look at the, what do they call it, the Altiplano of Bolivia. That's what you're looking at a few hundred years down the road for the high plains of North America. At what was the name of the place? There's an ancient ruined city in Bolivia that sits on the that once sat on the shores of Lake Titicaca. It's like 20 miles away from the shore now. It used to be a seaside city. That's what we're looking at. And no, that's not because it's cyclical. Perhaps, I mean, you know, there's no getting around. There's a cyclical nature to ice ages, you know, contracting and receding and advancing and blah. Sure. But we're helping it. We are helping it. Is there any doubt of that? Let's take a quick break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Daylight come and me want go home. Work all night and I drink a rum.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want.
Head On.
Lottie in the chat room has fixed himself some stuffed pork chops with apple raisin walnut chutney.
You, me, Grace, Rama.
Mango chutney.
Hey, speaking of that,
it's all you need.
Mustard seed?
Mustard seed, yeah. That article.
It's not the
there.
Same as mustard gas.
Well, it's pretty close. Mustard gas.
Join
mustard
Grace
gas.
And Rama, homebodies, Sunday evenings, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network. It's food for thought.
Hey, listen, tell me something, John. Do you guys eat a lot of mangoes down there?
Not enough to base a foreign policy on.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. We don't eat that many of them here either.
The United States is India's largest trading partner, and India is one of the United States' fastest growing export markets. And oh, by the way, Mr. Prime Minister, the United States is looking forward to eating Indian mangoes.
That's right. It's March Mango Madness. Nukes for mangoes, mangoes for nukes. Join Bruce and I, John Fox, this weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network. Catch us at fourthestateradio.com or headonradionetwork.com.
I found a reason, I don't need an excuse. I've got to stand on my own.
A liberal life in the conservative darkness. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Dance moment brought to you by Agnes Kincaid, who loves that song. 20 minutes, or almost 20 minutes past the hour as we cruise toward the end of tonight's program. That is a great tune, Joan Jett, Get Off the Cross. Yeah.
Sorry.
A couple of things to point out just for the fun of it. The Jon Snow, Treasury Secretary, who made a freaking bundle selling the CSX container shipping operations off to Dubai Ports World. Yeah, that Jon Snow, Treasury Secretary. He lectured Congress. He told Congress to set aside partisan bickering and raise the U.S. national debt ceiling this week or face a disastrous cash crunch for the federal government. Isn't that a little bit like the junkie saying, quit fooling around with whether or not the spoon's clean, melt the crap, I gotta have my fix? In a speech here, Washington, to a conference of regional bankers, Snow said it would be inconceivable for Congress not to pass legislation on the debt limit before it heads into recess at the end of this week. I am urging members of Congress in the strongest possible terms to resist coupling an increase in the debt ceiling with other issues. We want our money. Give us our money. Quit screwing around and give us the money. We got wars to wage. We got tax breaks to give away to our multimillionaire buddies. Quit screwing around and give us the money. Just give us the money. The money, it's what we want. It's what we need. Give us the money. The money, you understand. It's not about the war. It's not about poor people. It's not about people who are sick or dying. Give us the money! $800 billion of debt that they want right now. And don't you dare tie it to telling us to be ethical or moral or responsible. We're on a binge, baby, and we need another fix. Snow has issued increasingly urgent warnings to Congress that the statutory debt limit of $8.184 trillion will be hit this week. And we are in March. The fiscal year ends June 30. June? May? April, 3.5 months before the end of the fiscal year, and George Bush's budget is already busted because they won't do things like putting the war that George started. They won't put that in the budget. They just steal that quietly in the still of the night and tell senators and members of the House, if you don't vote for this, you don't love the troops and Jesus. Give us some more money. That's where they are. I mean, we're talking about a hungry vampire, sucking blood out of rats at this point. I mean, this is something out of Anne Rice. Last week, Snow said new issues of federal debt instruments would only raise enough cash to keep government operations financed until mid-March. Tomorrow is mid-March. Oh, baby, listen to what they told Caesar. Beware the Ides of March. Democratic members of Congress are said to be balking at increasing the debt limit unless the administration of President George W. Bush, which has overseen a huge rise in the U.S. budget deficit, curbs its appetite for money. Curbs its appetite for money, for debt, curbs its appetite for death! Who's going to pay for the Iran war George wants so bad? Buckets of blood are the toll. Buckets of blood. we have to remember that current federal borrowing needs today are simply the product of past decisions. While we always welcome a debate on budget priorities, swift action on the debt limit must still be taken this week. And if you don't, I'll stop clenching my teeth while I talk and I'll show you my fangs! These people are worried. Well, I don't know why they would be. We're talking about Democrats now, aren't we?
Oh, Jesus, is Jon Snow going to say something mean about me?
Says Harry Reid.
I hope he's not going to say something mean about me. Oh, please, Treasurer Snow. Jesus, please don't say anything mean about me or I'll soil my sacred Mormon underwear.
Why? Why? You know, I live in a time when greatness is called for, and no greatness is to be had. Do you remember when Bill Clinton let the government come to a halt because the Republicans wanted to get their front feet in the trough, and he called their bluff and said, "Screw you, Newt, buddy. Hey, Newt. We'll let it shut down till you do what I tell you to do." Now, I know there's a lot of people who are mad. Bill Clinton wasn't a good enough Democrat. I understand that. But he showed flashes of, oh, what's that old Serbian word for being emboldened? Balls? Yeah, he showed that. But we don't have any of that now, do we? Because we can't even get people behind Russ Feingold simply to pass a resolution saying, bad president, bad, don't spy on the American people again, or we'll tell you you're a bad president again. Don't. Naughty. And we can't scrounge up Democrats to get behind that. This from the Associated Press, Wisconsin Senator Russ Feingold accused fellow Democrats on Tuesday of cowering rather than joining him on trying to censure President Bush. Democrats run and hide when the administration invokes the war on terrorism, Feingold told reporters. He introduced censure legislation Monday. You know all about that. We listened to some of his speech last night. You know, the speech that Harry Reid apparently didn't hear, even though he was standing in the same damn room. You know, the Republican Party said, oh, this is, you know, Scott McClellan, this is about the 2008 presidential politics. And if Russ Feingold doesn't think we should listen in on Al-Qaeda calls, we welcome that debate. Oh, shut up, Scott, you big sissy. It's not about listening in on Al-Qaeda. You can listen in on Al-Qaeda anytime you want to. Hell, if it's happening overseas, you don't even need FISA. It's only when you want to spy on the American people. It's when you want to wiretap the Kerry campaign that, you know, little issues like violating the law come into play. But we can't investigate that. You know, there was mention in the story last night about the SAS paratrooper who said he will no longer fight alongside the Americans because we act like Nazis. And there was a comment from the shadow defense minister. The shadow defense minister is somebody within the parliamentary system, as our friend Andy explained to me, someone within the parliamentary system from the opposition party, the minority party, who is like, you know, he would be the defense minister if they were in power. We need a secretary of defense in the Democratic Party. We need a shadow secretary of state. We need a shadow the president, for God's sakes. We need all of that, and you know, single-minded laser beam focus on pointing out to the American people every day what a bunch of miserable screw-ups we're dealing with in the form of the Republican so-called leadership of this land. And Russ Feingold can't even get Democrats behind it. Now, I understand the procedural wrangling. I tried to talk about it a little. Feingold said, I'm amazed at Democrats cowering with this president's numbers so low. Then Bill Frist, he can, if the Democrats continue to say no to voting on their own censure resolution, then they ought to drop it and focus on our foreign policy in a positive way. Well, you know, the only president ever censured by the Senate was Andrew Jackson, 1834. And he hadn't done anything approaching the miserable, hateful, bloodthirsty things that George Bush has done. And a gang of Republican senators who love their president more than they love their country won't even dare to say boo to him. That is the attitude that you take toward a king, a monarch, a regent. That is the attitude you take toward an imperator, an emperor. That's not the attitude you take toward an elected representative of the people of this republic based upon principles of democracy. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Where have all the good men gone, and where are all the gods? Where's the streetwise Hercules to fight the rising odds? Isn't there a white knight upon a fiery steed? Late at night I toss and I turn and I dream of what I need.
Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Speaking of thievery,
yes,
just want to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right,
yes,
he died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones have been or were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, but I just thought it was so... I thought
God.
It was so ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway. Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
This is Bruce Birch, and if you missed my show Sunday night, here's what I got up to.
A group of U.S. businessmen in the UAE said they will invite the Oprah Winfrey Show and other talk shows to the Gulf to change American public opinion, which has helped block Dubai's takeover of six U.S. ports. He's saying that they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States and explain why the UAE is important. If you want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, they need to send... something, not Oprah. I mean, how many average guys do you know watch Oprah? I don't. If they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, as much as I hate to say it, they need to send Jerry Springer and the Jerry Springer Show over there with the bald guy. You know, maybe they can do a UAE version of my grandmother is also my lover or something like that. Oh, that's just a...
Join me, Bruce Birch, for All Things Reconsidered every Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, allthingsreconsidered.org.
Broadcasting live from a remote, undisclosed location in the wilds of wonderful West Virginia. Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Minutes before the hour. I'm feeling better. Who am I kidding? It's a parade of nightmares in George Bush's America. Finding the good, you know, Our good friend and co-host here on the Head On Radio Network, Bruce Birch, has a real talent for seeking out the good and for inspiring the good. I guess I'm just like that little devil Fred Flintstone up on Bruce is the little angel Fred Flintstone on Fred's shoulder, and I'm the little devil Fred Flintstone, and I want to point out evil, because right now good seems to be kind of taking it on the chin in America. There's a lot of us doing good and trying to do good and trying to counteract the evil. But, you know, then people like Pat Robertson have platforms in which they just vomit evil out of their mouth. All, do you realize, you know, when he puts that thing out on satellite, do you realize that Pat Robertson's words go into space? Pat Robertson's words go out to the aliens, you know, out there at the edge of the beep, 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 edge of the solar system. Oh, my God. God, better stay away from these people. They're sick. Well, it's, never mind. The story that's been running in our top of the hour newscast about the trial hearing, what have you, going on out in California, in Palo Alto, I guess it is, where Google is, and the government trying to force Google to give up all manner of information on people who have gone to Google, you know, looking for stuff. And the government says, well, you know, we are trying to battle kiddie porn. And that's why we need to know why all those Democrats keep going to that Democratic underground and headonradio.com and things like that, you see. That's the printer. Thanks, dear. Our little HP's going to hell. So we're going to make some more noise here. I'll wait till that's over before I continue the rant.
I didn't realize it was sick.
Yeah, it's sick, dear.
Another thing.
But anyway, the government thing says that it's fighting kiddie porn, and it's doing a study with your taxpayer dollars. It's doing a study of internet kiddie porn, and that's why they have to know why, you know, you want to go to recipe.com or whatever, you know, looking for Aunt Mabel's recipe for fudge on Google. That's why the government needs to know that. This is a fishing expedition. This is more data mining. Did you honestly think that Total Information Awareness, TIA, that awful program that was crafted by John Poindexter, Admiral John, early on in the Bush administration? And they, oh, you caught us. We won't do it. Okay, you got us. Yeah, okay. Do you think that they really stopped doing that? Of course they didn't. What do you think this case is? So it's going on out in Palo Alto, California, and it's being heard by a federal judge, a guy by the name of James Ware. James Ware is an African-American judge. And he has ruled that, well, you know, he won't give everything to the government that they want from Google. But, you know, it wouldn't hurt Google to give up some privacy information about its users and some of the proprietary information about how it's become it's become the monster of Internet search engines. And just a little bit. Guess what? Judge James Ware is a fraud. Judge James Ware is an absolute dirty liar. And, of course, he is an appointee of a Bush. Bush 41 appointed James Ware to the bench out in Palo Alto. What kind of liar is James Ware? Here's what kind of, this is like Claude Allen, you know, making $161,000 as the chief architect of George Bush's domestic bigotry. $161,000 he made, and he runs off running a bunco scam, returning stuff between Hex and Target over 25 times to the tune of over $5,000 over in Maryland. This is that kind of guy. James Ware lied about who he is. I mean, it's not like he wouldn't get caught, but that's the kind of pathology that follows the people who follow the Bush family. U.S. District Judge, this is from the Palo Alto Weekly. This is from Wednesday, November 19th, 1997. U.S. District Judge James Ware returned to his San Jose courtroom last week to hear cases after spending 3 days in Alabama apologizing to the family of a black youth slain in 1963 by white supremacists. Ware withdrew his nomination for the 9th District Court of Appeals November 6th after admitting he lied about being the boy's brother. The lie went undetected until August when Judge Clemon in Alabama, U.W. Clemon, who holds a similar federal post to Judge Ware in northern Alabama, heard about Ware's nomination for the 9th District Court of Appeals. He read how Ware grew up in Birmingham, went to Hayes High School, a local college, and then on to Stanford Law School. I said to my wife, they left out the most important thing. This was the judge whose brother was killed on a bicycle in 1963. Because Clemon had remembered Judge Ware telling that story during a speech to a conference of black judges on C-SPAN in 1996. But it wasn't until a few days later when, by coincidence, a retrospective of the Virgil Ware killing happened to appear in the Birmingham News that Clemon's suspicions were raised. That James Ware in the retrospective had never left Birmingham after his brother's murder, and it appeared to Clemon he was from the opposite side of the town where Judge Ware grew up. It struck me that Hayes is on the eastern side of town. This incident happened on the west side. The real James Ware, brother of Virgil Ware, he worked for a coal company in Birmingham for 20 years. And this James Ware, this Bush appointee, this man who is about to give away your right to privacy in the form of an order against Google, lied about who his family was. He lied about a little boy who was murdered by white supremacists, and he tried to catapult his propaganda on the blood of Virgil Ware, killed in 1963. And that man is hearing a case right now that affects your right to go and do and see as you please on the internet? And he sits in judgment of you? How sick. What a sick bastard James Ware is. The one in Palo Alto, that is. Let's go to the phone. Peter's with us. Hey, Peter, you're head on. How's life in Tallahassee?
Life in Tallahassee is interesting. And in fact, I'm calling to give you a little bit of an update. If you remember, I called last night going on about how they were hauling Ian Sancho in front of Sue Cobb, who is the
right.
Secretary of State, over this issue about the voting machines in Leon County. And last night I mentioned that Sancho was the fellow who stood up to Diebold ran the tests behind Diebold's back and determined that the machines were easily hacked using the memory cards. You could hack the memory cards. In fact, he was instrumental in California. Decertifying Diebold for a period of time. I think they were recertified after a while. So anyway, he stood being lauded as a hero for coming up with this new flaw in the Diebold system. Sue Cobb, who is the somewhat makeup-free version of Catherine Harris, it looks like a... In any case...
Draw your claws in, Peter.
Yeah, draw them in. But yesterday in Florida was the kickoff of Sunshine Week. Now, this all ties together. Now, what Sunshine Week in Florida is a general acknowledgement, and the newspapers write articles about it, regarding the Sunshine Laws here in Florida. Now, the Sunshine Laws are somewhat equivalent to the federal laws where you can write and request information.
Open government, open meetings.
That sort of thing. I guess a lot of states have it. Florida, we call it sunshining government or whatever. Let the sunshine in. Who knows? But okay. So Monday, yesterday, the kickoff of Sunshine Week in Florida.
You know, I just have a bad feeling about this.
Yeah. Sue Cobb basically phoned the police to remove reporters.
from an open meeting, right?
Yeah, from an open meeting.
Oh, of course.
A publicized open meeting that the public is invited to. Now, I ask you, who are reporters but representatives of the public to report?
Yeah, y'all come.
Y'all come, exactly. So
y'all leaving.
Sunshine Week started with a giant slamming of the Secretary of State's door in the face of the press. you know, at one point she said the press is not invited to this meeting, and she said there might be a government in the sunshine problem. In other words, a problem with the law, not a problem with her complying with it. And reporters were refusing to leave. So the Department of State, they called the Capitol Police, which is like a special police force that is employed by the state capitol as being opposed to being employed by the Tallahassee Police Department.
Right.
And so four uniform officers showed up, and they're all, and prior to the officers' arrival, they, you know, Cobbett said, you know, you're going to be arrested, blah, 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 blah. But the Capitol Police showed amazing restraint. They refused to arrest anyone, and they said that since no trespassing complaint had been filed, they would not stop the group from entering the meeting. Open defiance, Mike.
God amazing. Bless them.
So the reporters and a fellow named Ratcliffe, who is on the county commission, you see, in Florida, you can have one county commissioner present and call it a closed meeting, but if you have two county commissioners present, it has to be an open meeting.
Right. If it's at Wendy's, it's an open meeting.
Right. And either way, it's an open meeting because it was publicized as being open. So when the Capitol Police refused to block the reporters from entering the room, Cobb stopped the meeting. She absolutely refused to continue with the meeting, and she told Ratcliffe that, you know, you're stopping these talks because you're the second county commissioner, and even though this has been advertised, we don't have to let the press in here unless there's two present. So in any case, Ratcliffe finally agreed to leave, and then they closed the doors again and started the meeting. Now, the editor of the Tallahassee Democrat, he was threatened with arrest. The Associated Press editor, I mean, not by the police, but by, you know, Cobb when she called the police.
I think this is where we start whistling the Horst Wessel song.
Yeah, you know, all of this is going on right here in Jeb Bush world, right under his, right in the Capitol building.
Yeah,
it's just amazing to me, and all of this has to do with the fact that Ian Sancho is challenging the dirty election, and just what.
Well, yeah, and Ian Sancho, he's an elected official, isn't he, Peter?
Yes, he is an elected official,
and they're trying to slit his throat and gut him like a deer.
Exactly, and the way they're pulling it is part of the deal is that they have to have voting equipment that's suitable for disabled people, and so they're forcing that issue. And of course, Sancho has got an alternate plan from a company, I believe, in Kentucky that makes some sort of telephone system that now enables disabled folks to be able to vote without having to, you know, get a ride to the polls and what have you.
Yeah.
But rather than, you know, address the issue of hackable machines, they're just only narrowly addressing the issue of you're not going to have equipment in place that will accommodate disabled people, which of course is important, but it's not the big point.
Well, it's similar to one of the gigs going on in Western PA where the Department of Justice has threatened to sue, Westmoreland County, Pennsylvania, because they haven't gone out and paid Diebold to come in and steal their elections like, by God, the law says they're supposed to.
And you know, last night you were so right about the Brad blog. They're covering a lot of this in depth. And if anybody wants to know more about this or to read some of these articles, either go to Brad blog or you can Google Tallahassee.com, which will take you to
the local. Yeah, they are literally trying to force an elected official chosen by the people of Leon County, Florida, out of office.
A nationally recognized election official who has been a professional for 18 years and has never, ever once in Leon County had a bungled election. That's who they're trying to force out.
You know, there's irony about, you know, there's onion-like irony in this, Peter, because, you know, here he is, an election official. He's been elected by the people, and you've got, a Republican thug appointee of Jeb Bush coming in trying to overwhelm the will of the electorate of your county.
Exactly, and one of the threats that Sue Cobb has made is that unless he was able to comply with the disabled voting issues, that the state of Florida would come in and just take over the elections for Leon County.
Oh, God. You know what? Guns, bombs, missiles, dogs, what?
And if you don't think this is all pre-approved by Jeb Bush, I've got some swamp land in the back.
Oh, you're darn right. I mean, we've got the news story tonight about that poor boy over in Panama City. He died of hemorrhaging from sickle cell anemia after being beaten to death.
Yes, it took him out of the ground for that second autopsy to prove that, only because of his parents' objections.
Right, and of course, the investigation is finally being done by, again, a thug appointed by Jeb Bush.
Exactly.
You know, well, you know, 14-year-old young African-American boys, they tend to die after being beaten to death, because being beaten to death is a known cause of sickle cell anemia in young black men, and they're...
Yes.
Nobody's going to be punished, Peter.
Yes, yes. The people that were called in for the autopsy, they came in from several places, not in Florida. They were called in from a wide area, and all of them agreed that they all got the autopsy all wrong.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And the, you know, I think about Stark, Florida, and that hellish prison there. You know, those deputies that killed that young man need to be in Stark for the rest of their lives.
Oh, man, there's been such horror stories that have come out of Stark. There's been inmates there that have been beaten to death. They've been found with their testicles crushed. It goes on and on. I could get really down and
dirty. Well, our friend Gail down in Australia wrote to say that she had watched a documentary on these U.S. gulags for children last night, and she said it was absolutely horrendous. There are only two, and this is one of those moments when you realize what you're dealing with these bush monsters and the people who enable them in the United States. Peter, do you realize that the only two countries on planet Earth who have not ratified the UN Convention on Children's Rights? You know who those two countries are?
Well, we've got to be one of them. That's a sad state of affairs.
And Somalia.
Oh, great. It makes perfect sense.
You know, yeah, right. So, you know, we were, yeah, what was it, a month ago that we were voting with our buddy Iran over Human Rights Commission because they wanted to empower a gay rights commission to investigate why bigots like to kill gay people in the United States. No, we're with Iran on this one.
Yep, and one of those, we were with Iran and Cuba and Nigeria? One of the really repressive.
Yeah.
I mean, we were a great company.
Yeah, well, you know, these, you know, by their fruits ye shall know them.
Well, this is absolutely true. And, you know, Bob mentioned this earlier about how evil, Robertson calling the Muslims satanic, and Bob was talking about how it seemed to be the evil people were coming out of the church. And, you know, we talked about that just a few weeks ago when we were talking about 1 John, the Bible. That was very, very clear.
Antichrists,
yes,
plural.
Antichrists, plural, and they originate, they come from within the church. Both those points are pointed out in 1 John. And Bob had it right, exactly right, yeah.
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 We are up to our necks in monsters.
We are. Monsters. Absolute monsters. It's like those horror movies, you know, where you can't see them unless you put on the special glasses and you see their gnarled faces and the blood dripping down their cheeks.
Yeah, well,
they look like normal otherwise.
Yeah, well, you know, when I was a little kid, and it was already an old movie by then, but I happened to just catch a showing on the WBRC TV6 afternoon dialing for dollars movie of Invasion of the Body Snatchers, Peter.
Yeah.
I couldn't sleep for a month. You know, I mean, I'm looking under the bed. Is the pod down there? I don't want to be a pod person.
I don't know. I've gotten to where I check under my bed for Republicans every night. I can't, you know.
No, they're over there in the homosectional, Peter.
Oh, well, maybe they are. I'm thinking of unplugging that thing.
You know, Nancy Melman. Yeah.
But that's what's happening down here in Bush World. You know, and if you come to Disney World, the happiest place on earth, I want you to know what's going on outside the borders of that.
Now, in the rest of Bush World, you're allowed to carry a gun and shoot anybody who threatens you. Do you have to check your gun with Mickey at the happiest place on earth, Peter? I don't know.
I don't know. If you do, I'm sure it's with someone named Goofy.
Yeah, well, I know. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, welcome to Florida. Goofy's packing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and he's mad as hell. Now, I don't know about you. That scares the hell out of me.
Goofy's packing, and Jesus, Pluto's bringing heat. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And, of course, Mitty plays the crack whore.
Poor Walt Disney with his little frozen head somewhere. I feel so bad for him.
Oh, Lord.
You know,
oh, man, it just...
I mean, do you think that Walt Disney knew, Peter? Did Walt Disney even envision when he bought that plot of swampland in Orlando?
It was swampland.
I know. Did he even envision that he would have Ave Maria Florida next to it?
I mean, the mind boggles. It is hard to know. It is hard to know. We've got Terry Schiavo. We've got the poor kid.
Well, see, I started off reading, I was a big Dave Barry fan for a long time.
Yeah, he's great.
Out of the Miami Herald. And he was buddies with the investigative reporter down there, a guy by the name of Carl Hiaasen.
I see.
And I started reading. Carl Hiaasen wrote this string of just not, like, you know, murder and crime and death and, you know, just an easy afternoon's read. You know, the literary equivalent of cotton candy, just fun to read and full of killing and craziness. And they're all set in Florida. And I'm, you know, is it really like this? Is it? And this was years ago. Could it possibly really be like this? It is.
Well, you know, I told you I was at the post office last week. They were carrying Fox News, and this troll turned around to face us and said, we don't need to kill them Iraqis. They killing themselves. Hell, I hope they kill them all. I mean, you know, yes, it's just like that. There's W4 stickers everywhere. The place is horrifying.
I want to visit. I mean, I want to visit the way you like to go through the wax museum, Peter. I just want to, you know, oh, look, there's Jack the Ripper. There's Jeb Bush. Look, it's Catherine Harris. She almost looks alive.
Well, you know, in Tallahassee,
but the makeup's better.
There's so many state employees here that it's not voiced very loudly amongst a huge number of the people because of the government being here, how much Jeb Bush is hated. But I assure you there is a strong undercurrent of we cannot wait to get this man out of here in 2006.
He does have to leave, doesn't he?
Well, I hope so. I hope he packs it back to Texas.
I mean, he's term limited or something. I mean, can he run for another term?
Well, I don't know. Now, you know, I should know that, and I feel so ignorant. But I think he can run again in 06, or at least if he can't. You're right. It's either two or three terms. And I guess 06 is the end, but there's always the horror of getting another Republican. You know, I should know that. I feel stupid, but I don't know that.
Well, you know, maybe Noel Bush can run on the crack whore platform.
Well, you know, I just keep track of minor dirt. I keep track of the fun stuff. The big things I leave to the newspapers and the blogs. I'm just going to keep you updated on the really fun stuff.
I want to come down there so bad and see the weirdness for myself.
Well, just come on down. I'll take you to the Redneck Riviera. We could visit Rick. That's Panama City.
Hot damn, I've been there a million times and run on over to Fort Walton and the Hog's Breath Saloon. Woo! Big times. Maybe even slide west to the Floribama Lounge.
Oh, dear Lord.
All right, Peter, you have yourself a wonderful night. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, you too. Good night, Agnes.
Night, Peter.
Bye, y'all.
Bye. Always love ending on an up note. There. And, you know, apart from the place where, you know, they kill people in the boot camps and steal elections and stuff, Redneck Riviera is a fabulous freaking place. Miracle Mile? Oh, yeah. Well, that's it for tonight. I don't know where the time goes. For at least half the program, Agnes produced tonight. The first half of your program was ably produced by Bob Kincaid. Brian Reznor announces. Randy Kerbway is our engineer. Our dear friend Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. maintains the stream of this program that you're listening to, as well as the archives that some of you will listen to later. Remember, he's got a fundraiser going. He's getting close to his goal, but he's not there yet. He still needs your help. And I don't mention it often enough, we are so very grateful to Shelby LaPrey at RadioPower.org for carrying this show in delay from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at RadioPower.org. It's done wonders for us, and we really love being in contact with the listeners there. And, of course, the Cup of Joe fundraiser is going on, Cup of Joe at cupofjoe.blogspot.com. Joe Vecchio has, as you hear from the reports every night, he has wonderful outlooks and perspectives.